Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are here and good to be with you. Another live talk show where we do it more than we talk about it. And Minister, I hope you were able to listen to last night's testimony from my friend Ken. Really awesome. And great testimony. Very amazing testimony, actually. Wow. It's really good. You need to really go to last night's show and try to listen to it. The whole show was just, we kept it on the whole show, kind of moved it from one level to the other. And, so it's really, it shows you what I thought about it, how I felt like God was moving during it. And hopefully you'll feel the same way. Really informative and really build your faith up. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay, I don't know where I want to go exactly tonight. We're going to find out right here. Quick flag. You know, one thing I want to talk about tonight is your love life. Yeah, your love life. And where you get your love from. And, you know, this balance of the love of a human being, whether it be a mother, father, a mate, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is that you, where you get your love, if you're getting any of it at all right now, it just depends, right, on what's going on. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, at least right now, I think. If God gives me the grace, we're going to open up about that. You know, how many have you ever gone through times where you're hanging around people that love you, but you don't really feel loved, right? You just don't really feel completely loved. You're thinking, what do I need? I need more than this. I don't know what it is. I don't feel loved. You start feeling sorry for yourself. You know, I've done that before, and I know what that's like. And it's really, really important to understand what I'm going to share with you tonight the best that I can. I don't know how perfect it's going to be, but just listen closely and try to get the overall understanding, you know, of what's going on. And what I'm sharing with you, whether you're married, whether you're single, it doesn't make any difference. This is for you, all right? So this is for you. So, yeah. And I can tell you right now, through my many years of experience as a seasoned human being who, wants to be loved, we all want to be loved, we all want to give love, we want to be loved. You finally realize after a while that people will never care about you. Jesus does. They sincerely try, right? But their care will never, they will never be able to care like Jesus cares and loves you. That's never going to happen. And you got to come to grips with that. You have to come to grips with the fact that God has made you to receive love from him first. Amen. First John talks about that he loved us first. We love because he loved us first. That's First John. Look it up. You'll be able to see it there. I may go through it a little bit later. So once you get this kind of understood and lined out in your life, you're going to be able to be a lot happier, and you're going to be a lot less of a pain in the kabuchi to your loved ones or the ones you're trying to get love from. You're going to find yourself being more of a blessing to them because you don't come to them, you know, drawing from them all your love needs. The Bible made it for a man to be with a woman and a woman to have a man. You know, God made us to be like that. But at the same time, you know, they can only do so much. And depending on their, you know, the way they were raised and how free they are in Christ, of whether they'll be able to love you the way you need any of it, any kind of love. They may not be able to love you at all the way you want it. You may end up being the one that does all the loving, you know. And so when you start realizing that, you know, God has made you to be loved by Him first. When we really get a hold of that, when you finally get lonely enough, and I mean, you will get lonely if you're not, especially if you're not depending on God's love first to love you, right? Because that's the way you're made. You're made to. Let's just go to the scripture. Let me find it. Hang on a second. I haven't looked up any of these things. All right, 1 John 4:19 says that we love because He first loved us. Right, let's go look at that in a little bit more of the rest of the scripture. That's 1 John 4:19. I want you to walk with me this minute because it's really going to touch you a bit more maybe than you think, right? It just might touch you a little more than you think. All right, love has been perfected, 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment because as He is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Who's got perfect love? God's love is the only one that's perfect, and it casts out fear. Not because fear involves torment. That's what we're going to talk about this tonight. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. So it goes on down and says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that we have, he who loves God must love his brother also. So how do you love your brother also? You love God first, right? And here's the thing. Here's the big key. You got to stay in love. You got to keep seeking love. You got to keep pursuing His love, right? If you think marrying the perfect woman or the perfect man is going to solve your love life, you are highly deceived. Highly. Especially if you've been around at all. Human love and God's love through a human being is beautiful. It's wonderful. But it's secondary. It is secondary. If your love life with God, he says here, if we love, we love because He first loved us. And it talks about and this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So how do you love your brother also? You love God first. I mean, and then you stay in love with him. You know, the Bible talks about the book of Revelation, church, that lost their first love. You know, and I can imagine what that was like being in that church, you know, just like a lot of us today. There's not a whole lot of love between the brothers. When you try to start finding love in a human being, that first love in that human being, you're going to rob them and rob yourself of a lot, because you're going to expect so much of them that you're going to suck the life out of them. God knows I've done this, not knowing what I was doing, and they're going to suck the life out of you, right? A life that you can't give them, because God has created every human being to love God first. And if you're not doing that, you're going to be miserable. Then you're going to try to seek love from people, and oh yeah, here's what I'm looking for, yeah. And even though we have God, we can still be looking for love. The sooner that you and I realize that the love of God is the only thing that truly satisfies us and gives us love to love our brother or husband or wife or children. You know, you're going to be some mothers, I've seen this, some mothers and fathers have counseled a lot of people. They suck the love out of their children because children are innocent and pure and they love big. and they will just suck the life out of their children, not without even knowing they're doing it. Suck the life out of it, not on purpose. They don't know they're doing it, but when they find love, they find love to this pure innocent child. Man, they're gonna just instead of being the parent, they're gonna be the child and sucking the love out of that child. That sounds kind of rough, but maybe it is a little bit. I don't know. Sometimes I can't tell what comes off rough or not. But so we're made to be with human beings, but we were made by God first. God made us, and our Maker is the one that we learn to love and fellowship with first. When we lose our first love, it's because we try to find love in somebody else. Yeah, maybe you want to have children. Maybe you want to have a family. Maybe you want to have the family life and all that. Well, yeah, you need that. I mean, that's part of God's promise. But, man, to have it the right way is wonderful, right? To where, you know, it's nice if you marry somebody who can find love from God by themselves, right? Because if they don't, listen to me, friend, listen close. If they don't know how to find love, get loved by God first, not by you first. If you're jealous, if you're an extremely jealous person, you will not want them to get love from God first. I've seen that a lot too. Extremely jealous people, men and women, both ways, big time. When they are so full of jealousy, they do not want their mate to love God first. It's a roaring battle. But once you learn how to, here's what breaks that up. Here's what breaks that jealousy up. It's when you learn to love that person with the love of God, then that jealousy is going to be broken off for the most part, because they're going to be getting love from you. You are made to give love to your mate, but you're also made to get love from God first. That's why it says in the scripture I just read. Right? Yeah. 1 John 4:19, it says, and you can go on and you can read all that if you want, but it's really cool. Where did I go? Yeah, here we go. Yeah. So, all right. So this whole thing, that when you talk about love and the consummation of love, that's what verse 17 and 18 and 19 really is talking about, the consummation of love. Love, verse 17, 1 John 4:17, not St. John, but 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world, right? So if you're walking around, love has been perfected among us. How? That we have boldness. And that so the reason that you need to keep your love relationship with God is because that part of you that knows, that has boldness about the day of judgment. In other words, that's one of the main things you think about. You may not be loved. Your husband or your wife may not love you. Nobody may love you. But one thing you think about more than anything, you know, whether you realize it or not, is your eternal judgment, the day of judgment. So if you know and you walk in love, even though you're going to go to heaven, people get tormented by the judgment realm, right? Because they have no boldness in the day of judgment. They have no boldness toward. They have no, oh, yeah, I know I'm saying, ooh, I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear, and let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I exalt thee. And you go on, you just sing and worship. Why? Yeah, what does that do? That love has been perfected. You want to perfect love? It's not about just loving people. That's not that. Here's what, watch what it says.
love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world, right? There's no fear in love, right? So when you're walking in your first love with God, you can be born again and on your way to heaven and go to heaven and be tormented the whole time by worrying about judgment, right? Because you're thinking, you know, this, you know, do I love? I love God. So when you love him, that love is perfected. Amen. So because you have that settling and that peace inside you that what the day of judgment means to you, right? That you're born again. You're not gonna be judged like other people will, right? That's not there. That's gone. That's washed away. And believe me, that this says that love is perfected because of that. So it's that's one of the first ways you develop love, is knowing that when you get born again and God is love, you know, you realize you're born again and you're in the day of judgment, he's gonna be saying to you, yeah, you know, come into my presence. You didn't do all that great on a lot of things, but man, you got born again, so come on in. But you know, but if you don't walk in love and live in love, then you're going to have this fear. Fear's going to hit you. It's going to torment you. You know, I know a lot of people that have that problem. I think everybody deals with that to a certain degree. Some just keep on loving Jesus, and you keep on loving Jesus, then that torment, the next verse, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love. That's only God's love and perfected love. And the more our love is perfected, verse 17, love has been perfected. Therefore, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So you can have love in you and it not be perfected. So the more you walk in love and know that you're, you know, and that keep that love thing going on, the torment of things, the condemnation, I call it the condemnation issue. Condemnation does not rule and reign in your life. Most people don't even realize they have condemnation all over them. We were talking about garments last night, having garments. They have the garment of condemnation on them. It's sad. They shouldn't have, but they do. We don't have to, you know. Okay. Somebody said that applies to me right now. Amen. I knew it was for somebody. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, this is very real. God just, you know, I never even read this part of the scripture, verse 17. I didn't even know that was there, I hate to say, but now that I got on it, the Holy Spirit said, this is for somebody, so thank you. All right, so when you get out of love, even though you may be truly born again and on your way to heaven, you're going to be tormented by that. Because one of the things that we have is a lot of false doctrines that tell people if you sin just the right sin or the wrong sin or whatever sin you want to call it, you could be split in hell wide open. You're going to lose your salvation. You know what? And I used to believe in that stuff. Big time, taught it, preached it for years until I dove into the Word and the Holy Spirit and I got together and he explained it to me. Changed my whole life. I'm not over here in sin because I know what I mean. Are you kidding me? You know, because when you walk in righteousness with God, when you walk in the fear of the Lord, you know, that the fear of the Lord is the fear of judgment, you know, and obey him because you love him, right? You know, you don't have that stuff. You don't deal with that stuff. Perfect love casts out fear because their fear involves torment. And people are tormented all the time by condemnation. They have condemnation every. That's why I tell you to take communion every day. Well, I don't want to. Yeah, I'm not even in the community. Well, I know, but it's one of the things that I've told you for years, you guys, that has helped me. And I've had issues with this. I've had issues with this too. So every time I take communion, you know what it's about? It's about love. It's about what Jesus paid for me that I don't have to pay for it. He paid for it. All right. And so anyway, so. You can know you're on the way to heaven. You can know you're born again, and if you don't walk in love, you don't have that boldness, knowing. All right, the devil robs you of your salvation's peace and joy. And what keeps him from robbing it is loving him. And when you love him, you know that he's going to say on judgment day, I love you. You're mine. You've been mine for a long time. All right? Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You see, there's love and then there's perfected love. When you start realizing that we love only because he loved us first, that's what first love is. Not just I'm putting Jesus first. First love is letting Jesus love you. We love because he first loved us. So we talk about this many times, but when you must find ways to learn how to let him love you. Communion is a beautiful way to say, to partake of what Jesus did because he loved you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of me what? That he died for, he God so loved the world that he gave his son. And then we're talking about the son gave his life for the father because he loved you and loved the father. So we love because he first loved us, because you keep reminding yourself every day that he died for me. He actually died for me. That sounds like an old gospel thing that we should be getting past. But I don't want to get past that. I don't want to ever get past that. He died for me. That's what communion is about. He died for me. Oh, the love of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Jesus. And we love. But why? Because we're letting... It's not about how much you love God. It's about how much do you let God love you. And we've got it backwards, y'all. And because of that, we're walking around dry and thirsty, trying to figure out, if I give love away, I'll get love. Only if you're giving your love to the Father. You can't give your love away to people. First. We're talking about first. We love because he first loved us. Yes, you give love to people. Of course you do. But if you're not giving love to God first, and let him be, it's more blessed to give to God. Give God your love. Love him with all your, not your neighbor, not your husband, not your wife, not your boyfriend, not your girlfriend, not your whoever. No, love God. Why? Because he's already shown, you're born again. The only way you can really love God is if you're born again, because your spirit man just loves. He's seated with Christ in heavenly place right now. He just loves Jesus. Everything's about, your spirit man lives in love. Your spirit man cannot sin, does not sin, and will never sin if you're born again. Because he's seated with Christ in heavenly place. When are we going to get a hold of that? I don't know. We're getting it, a little by little. We're seated with him. Doesn't mean your body doesn't sin. Doesn't mean you don't have to get forgiveness of sin. It doesn't mean, it had nothing to do with any of that. Your spirit man. Oh, he's born again of pure love. And that's not just somebody else. That's you. That's the real you. That's the spirit man you. And woo, love. All I know is love. La, na, 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 na. All I see is love. Love is all I see, because all I see is God, because all I see is Jesus, because all I see is the Holy Ghost. All I see is love. That's what your spirit man sings every day, man. Let your spirit man love you. Not just let God love you. Let your spirit man love your soul. Love your mind. Love your emotions. You know, I have to tell you all about this. I heard Andrew Womack the other day. I've never ever been a big Andrew Womack person. He's one of the purest people that I know of. He's a bit of a merchandiser, but he also has probably one of the purest hearts of maybe all of them, I don't know. But I don't really listen to him that much. I don't really listen to anybody very much. And so he comes on during the day here where I'm at, and I just happen to be, I think I'm going to watch Andrew Womack, you know. And I'm watching Andrew Womack, and he starts talking about the spirit man. Y'all listen to this real close. I'm about to tell you something that blew my mind. Now, I've never heard anybody talk about the spirit man like we talk about it here. Not outright and specific. Outright and specific. That your spirit man, once he's born again, does not sin. Andrew Womack said that on his show about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I've been waiting to tell you guys about this. I mean, because I've been teaching this for a long time, and I'm going, what? I looked at it, I turned up, I'm going, what is that? And, my TV, you can back it up a little bit. I said, say that again, man. Let me make sure I heard that record. I've never heard anybody say it specifically, especially a spirit-filled person. Your spirit man does not sin. And once your spirit man is seated with Christ. I mean, he started talking all the stuff I've been telling you guys for the last however long. And he started talking about it. And I was so blown away. I listened to him for 3 days thinking, I hope he keeps talking about it. And he said some things that I've never thought of. Not very much, but those guys are pretty much a revelator. And so, I mean, you know, so I'm listening to him going, he must be listening to my show. That's what I always think first, y'all. I'm going to be real honest with you. Oh, yeah, they probably tuned in PGN on the side. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just me. And so I'm like, man, how long has he been teaching that? I've never heard anybody say that stuff. Never. Never. And he's talking about how the only way you can know what's going on with your spirit man is I did not know this, and I never thought about it. I think I agree with it for the most part. But he says the only way you can tell what's going on with your spirit man, this is Andrew Womack, he says, look at the Word of God, what the Word of God says about your spirit man. Oh, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Because he said, Andrew Womack said what I've been saying, he said, your spirit man has been totally recreated in the image and likeness of God. And he said, just like I said, your spirit man does not need any, changing, nothing, no renewing. Y'all, when I heard that, I just went, either that man has got some revelation from heaven or he's been listening to my show or talking to somebody who is. I don't know. It was cool, though. I mean, I was just thrilled to the bone. I'm going like, my Lord and my God, I've never heard anybody say that before, that your spirit man cannot sin. That's what he said. He said that. And he's a great, great teacher. Now I really, you know, I'm going to really brag on how great a teacher he is. Now, right? He's a great teacher. I can believe it. Andrew Womack, man, this mature man of God who's got all them buildings out there, and, you know, in the mountains. And, you know, my favorite place is the mountains. What I'm doing out here in this place don't match. I do not know. But, yeah, so I was just, like, blown away. I'm going, oh, my God, this highly professional, spiritual, godly man who's one of the best teachers I've ever heard, at least as of the last few days. Oh, my gosh, look what he's saying. I mean, he's repeating stuff, y'all. He said one thing that I had not thought of, and I was so glad I got to hear him say it, because now I'm looking at it, right, to make sure it's good, and it sounds really good to me so far, is that the only way you can tell what's going on with your spirit man, because you can't feel him, which I don't believe that. It's hard to feel him. It's hard. I'm going to explain that later, how come I don't really totally agree with him on that, but I think he's just getting a hold of some stuff here, so pray for him. But he's talking about how that the only way you can know what's going on with your spirit man, because you really don't feel your spirit man, which I don't believe, is know what the Word of God says about what your spirit man is doing, how your spirit man has been recreated, and what your spirit man is made of. He said totally Jesus, totally born again, totally, you know, recreated in the image and likeness of God. Doesn't need to be renewed. You know, I've never heard anybody say that stuff. It's specific in that particular way. Never. Oh. I mean, I almost sent him an offering. I'm serious. I went, oh, my God, this is mind-boggling. So, okay, now I can say to y'all, I ain't the only one teaching this stuff that some of y'all think is nonsense. Not very many of you, but some of you are. You know, you're kind of, you know, you're not sure. You're wondering, you know, is it really real? Is it really right? Well, Andrew Womack just said it is, so you know, yeah. So I'm going forth with this with some new boldness. I can tell you that for sure. I already had pretty bold anyway, but yeah. So anyway, so So if, why are you talking about the spirit man all of a sudden? Well, you went from love to the spirit man. Because your spirit man is seated, your spirit man is not only seated in heavenly place with Christ Jesus, literally right now as you sit there, it's a spiritual realm. It's not a physical place only. It's literally is a place, but it's more spirit. Your spirit never leaves your body. He just gets seated with Christ in the realm of authority, in a realm of authority. It's a place of authority, a place in the spirit. Right. Yeah. So why, the reason we're talking about this tonight is because your spirit man is nothing but love. Nothing but love. Because it's been totally recreated. Thank you, Andrew Womack, for the confirmation. Hallelujah. Finally, somebody, spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, beast of healings and miracles and signs and wonders, and is a great man of God. Well, a little bit I know about him. Other than merchandising, he's an outstanding person. Seems like a really, pretty much what I can tell, a pretty pure person. Definitely I know it, especially now that I know he's teaching my stuff. And I'm like, yow! This is awesome. Not my revelation God's given me. Yeah. From Jesus, from the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah. So I'm telling you, because your spirit man is love and nothing but love, nothing but love, nothing but the fruits of Jesus, nothing but the nature of Jesus, friend, nothing but it. There ain't nothing else in your spirit, man. It's not weak. It's not falling apart. It doesn't fall apart. When you fall apart, your soul falls apart. Your body may fall apart, but your spirit, man, never falls apart and never will again, ever. The thing is, it's like what he's talking about, what I heard Andrew start talking about, which is, I don't totally agree with him on it, but I think he's, you know, I can tell he's just getting this, some of this stuff. So we've got to pray for him, right? And pray for me, too, that I get more. But your spirit man, he says that the only way we can tell what's going on with our spirit man is looking at the Word of God. Well, he's probably onto something there because it's pretty cool. And for me saying that, it's pretty cool. So that was good. I thought, well, that's really awesome. So the more you connect to what the Word of God says about your spirit man, the more you're going to connect with it. Right? The revelation you get is that your spirit man, see, most people don't even know. Most people are not even taught what we teach here on PGN, that your spirit man is pure, undefiled, doesn't need to be regenerated, doesn't need to be renewed, doesn't need to be nothing. He's totally recreated and seated in the image and likeness of God in Jesus and seated with Christ in heavenly places and will never be moved from that position. That is always going to be. Because seated means just that. Now, your body will flop. Your soul will be flopping all over the place. We'll be flopping. We'll be floppers. That's why it says, you know, your mind, your soul was flopped around. Quits flopping, quits being double-minded by the Word of God. The more you get the Word of God in you, the more you quit flopping around. You know, I still flop a little bit here and there, you know. If pressure's really on me, I might flop a little more. As far as, you know, like, I believe without my unbelief stuff, I try to be honest with all my stuff so people know exactly, you know, I don't want to hype anything, because I hate hype, as you guys can probably tell. I hate the hype. And God knows if I'm hyping, he's going to show me and help me overcome it, right? But I despise hype. So Jesus helped me not to do that. All right, so y'all understand, what's going to help you overcome that and a lot of your issues and my issues is knowing, is being able, here, watch it real close, being able to connect your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, which is a part of you that goes up and down and up and down and, you know, all this up, to more stability, because connecting with your spirit man is how you tap into that. And you're not just tapping into Jesus. You're tapping into your spirit man's reality. How did your spirit man get like that? Because you decided to be a really great guy? No. Only through the cross of Calvary and through the birthing power of the Holy Spirit. Only by that. So everything you need isn't just through the Holy Spirit. It's through your spirit man. Now, the Holy Spirit and your spirit man work together hand in hand all the time. It's not that he's independent, but I'm just talking about if you just had your spirit man only to draw from, it would be power from on high, at the right hand of the Father, at the seat in heavenly places, at the right hand. Hallelujah. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. You're going to have to get a hold of that. So the more you know, the reason I know we're going to be able to feel what's going on in our spirit, man, and it is the main thing we need to work on. People don't even know what the main thing they're working on is. Oh, renewing my mind, doing this and doing that. Of course, all those things are extremely important. But if what you're doing is not of God, then it's not going to ever connect to your spirit, man. Well, I just need to be connected to Jesus, Randy. I'm not trying to be connected to my spirit, man. I don't want to be connected to me. No, you want to be one. Yes, you do want to be connected to your spirit, because your spirit, man, is the only part of you that doesn't need to be renewed. It's totally recreated in the image and likeness of Christ, and the only part of you that will be that way for eternity. He's never going to backslide. Your soul may. Your body may, but your spirit will never backslide. It cannot. Once you're truly born again. I know some of you got the hair stand up on the back of your neck because you think, oh, my God, what's he doing? Well, I got some confirmation now. Andrew Womack, y'all. So some of y'all, put that in your pot and smoke it. Yeah. Or put it in your super power drink and drink it. Yeah, I got some confirmation now. It ain't just me over here standing by myself. Hallelujah. And for him to say that, y'all, I mean, I'm just like, wow. Wow. It's one of the main doctrines I teach, because it's the main thing that changed my life. So now I'm... You know, I think Carmen was talking about this last week, maybe a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was. She was on the show, and she asked me a question. Some of y'all might have been listening. She asked me a question. She said, what about the Azusa Street guy who flowed in miracles, signs, and wonders and tapped into, you know, we call it the hundredfold, and then fell away? What happened? And I told her, I said, because once you enter into the rest of the Lord, once you break through and you dig a cable, so to speak, you know, from your spirit man to your soul, and that connects up, you connect your life up to 100-fold. But some people don't think you can do that. So they come knocking on your door, some religious spirit people say, oh, they got a little list of things. Do you still fast and pray? Yes, I mainly pray. I used to fast all the time. I don't do it as much. Okay, well, that I had to mark you off as a backslidden. Okay. Go ahead, next. How long do you pray? I used to pray like, you know, 8 hours a day for a long time, and then 4 hours a day, and then now I don't really pray hours a day. I just pray. And I'm like, okay, mark against you number two, backslidden. And you get five of these, you're out, you know. Probably lost your salvation. And I just gave this example of how these religious people show up at your door with a list of things that you better be doing to be really on fire. And if you used to do them and you're not doing them anymore, that means you're sure enough maybe on your way to hell pretty quick-like. And so what I said was that this guy she's talking about lost the signs, wonders, and miracle realm because he listened to those people and he started, man, maybe I need to go back to sweating and working. Because once you go from working to entering into the rest, once that cable has been dug and worked, laboring, and that cable, that connection is made from your spirit man to your soul, once that's done, once you labor and you do that, which does take fasting and prayer and all those things, you know, and I just say, you know, God is my witness, I fasted 40 days, two times, and 30 days, and 20 days, and 10 days. It was my life. Fasting, I fasted one time a half a year, literally a half a year. I counted up the times, and I think I did more than that. So I'm not bragging on it. I'm just telling you. Yeah, was that? Did that do me any good? Was that just being religious? No, I think it was digging the cable, digging the little hole for the cable to fit into, connect it to my spirit man, to my soul, where I had that connection, where I could just tap in anytime. And that's the way I explain it. And when they came to the door and asked him, he said, "Man, you know, I've got all five wrong. Oh my God, I must not be walking with God, because yeah, I don't do what I used to do." Well, once you do what you used to do and you enter into the rest, you don't have to go back and do that ever again. You're connected. So if somebody says, "Okay, I guess I'm going to go back to sweating again and go back to the soulless realm, trying to make everything perfect, make everything right, and keep my salvation," oh my God, I've got to get enter into the sweat realm again. You know, you lose the hundredfold realm. You lose the signs, wonders, and miracles. You lose that gifted realm where you just flow with the Holy Spirit. Whatever your gifts are, my gifts are not signs, wonders, and healings and miracles in the miracle realm. Mine are more in the prophetic miracle realm. So once I tapped in, once my spirit man, you know, the cable was laid, and I did all the labor and work and fasting and prayer and seeking God, and that cable's connected up. Once that cable's connected up, man, you can just sit back and relax now. Woo, turn that thing on. Let's go, baby. Woo, Jesus, revelation, 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 revelation. Why? Because you got it hooked up. Well, I was already hooked up to God when I got born. No, I know, but your spirit man is a part of you that you can't really feel and see and sit like Andrew Womack said, even him. So he's trying to show people how to connect to it. Oh, confirmation. Yeah, because it's there and it's real. Connecting to your spirit man, they're all three there, but they're not all three one. Connected. That's the part we got to do, is labor to get connected to our spirit man. He's there. It's you, but it's not all. There's no line. There's no cable to connecting them so that your soul can see what your spirit man sees. So your soul can feel and know what's on the God tube, the cables from heaven, showing everything that God's doing and all the different channels God has. There's so many different channels God had that the cable system is a good way to explain God. God has so many channels. You could have learning channels 24 hours a day, all the time. You think you're going to be able to learn all that stuff? No way, man. It's too much. You got people teaching stuff. Learning. I mean, it's just like massive. That's the same way it is. Once you get connected, then you just begin to really learn. Yeah. And most people never get connected, man. It's not about being born again. You're born again. It's about getting the cable ran from your spirit, man, down to your soul, so to speak, so you can be connected and have a remote control and go, "What's on channel 22 tonight? Bang, bang, 22. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What about that worship channel? Let's go to 33, worship channel 33, enter into worship from the heavenlies. The angels are singing, praise God, yeah." You know why? Because you got connected, man. But you got to get connected. That's the problem. Most people are connected. And those who are not connected, and they're religious, and they're born again, and they love God, they're spirit-filled, and they're not connected, they're going to try to get you to do what they're still having to do, and they're not even really doing it. They don't even know why they're working. They don't even know why they're laboring. They don't even know why they're digging. What are we digging this? What are we digging this hole for, boss? What's that? What is this for? We're going to run water down there? What is it? No, silly. It's the cable. We're connecting your spirit man so your spirit man can feel and know and get connected directly to your spirit man, which is seated in heavenly places and knows everything God's doing. And then your body and all three become one. All connected. They're all there, but they're all separate. They're all divided. Dividing asunder, the word of God, dividing asunder between spirit and soul and showing you what, you know, and then when you get it all set up and right and where it's working right, you know, then you're connected. You get connected. Does that make sense? So the love, you're never going to really walk in love. I mean, regularly until your spirit man, that cable is run to all the works and labor that you're doing, that you even understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. Most people don't even know, have a clue what I'm talking about. Don't have a clue. What are you talking about, man? We're saved. Yeah, I know, Doug. That's what I said for a long time, too. And I couldn't figure out why God had me praying in tongues for 6, 7, 8 hours a day, fasting 40 days here and 40 days there and 40 days over there and 30 days and 20 days. And for years, 1 year, like I said, I literally fasted half the year, literally. Oh, you just bragging on. No, I'm just telling you, I was laboring for that connection, getting that line put in. Hallelujah. It takes work. But once that work is over, once you get hooked up, once that cable gets hooked up to your house, all you got to do, Sam, is sit in that chair, sit back in your little throne, seated with Christ having place, and flip the channels. What channel do you want today? What do you want to learn about? The temple? Get the temple channel, 77. And you just sit back and you just go, oh, my God. Y'all hear me doing all the time. Why do you think I'm always going, oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What is that? Ooh, Jesus. It goes on. Anytime I want to tap in, brother, I start getting into the word. I start getting in, and, man, I'm flipping on the God tube, and I'm at it, man. Wherever I want to learn, I have access to all of heaven. Because my spirit man is seated in heavenly places looking at Jesus and the Father and the angels. And knows exactly what the will of God is. That's the hundredfold realm. That's the hundredfold realm. And I understand it now like I never understood it before. Your spirit man already lives in hundredfold realm. We talked about this about a week ago, so I don't remember when it was. And Carmen popped up. She said, yeah, spirit was on body. You know, like so we're already. See, I used to think, if some of you who listen closely know that when I talk about the 30, 60, 100-fold is understanding, I'm thinking that's something we're working toward. Well, in a sense, we are in our soul, because our soul has the work of renewing it. But the spirit man, he's already 100-fold. We're just waiting for the rest of us to catch up, 30 and 60, and then on up, whatever, however that works. I mean, I'm not even sure exactly how that works to explain that. But you already have, you're already in the hundredfold, friend. If you're born again, your spirit man is completely 100% in the image and likeness of Jesus, and just got to confirm through a great man of God, who I'm thinking about sending an offering to, just for confirming that, Andrew Walmack. I'm serious about the revelation. Yeah. I mean, I have never heard anyone talk about it like I talk about it, like God has shown me. Then I hooked up, I got my, you know, sit back in my chair, in my Holy Ghost chair, in my throne, my little seat I have that I'm seated with Christ, and I just flip the channels. What do you want me to learn today, God? Help me. What channel? Channel 365, what's that about? Just turn it, Chandler, and you'll find out. Channel 365, oh, my Lord and my God. Where did that come from? About the Jews and Jesus. I'm serious. People who know me personally, I hang out with, you know, have hang out over the years, and I go run around with, they'll tell you. That's Randy Chandler. Randy Chandler's always going, oh, my God. When I'm preaching, it happens to me. When I'm sitting in the car, driving down the road, sitting on the toilet, taking a shower. I hate to be kind of crude, but I'm just trying to tell you. It goes on all. I don't have to be in a posture of prayer. I already broke through in that. I'm not saying I don't pray. I'm not saying I wouldn't fast. I've already labored. Don't try to get me to labor again and sweat like you're sweating, some of you. Yeah, I'm just messing with you. Don't get offended. You know, people are always trying to get me to sweat with them. Hey, man, how come you're not sweating? I already sweated. It was fun. You know, I don't like sweating much, but I did a lot of sweating. And it was good sweat. It was good labor. It's part of the gospel. The Bible says to labor to enter into the rest. And, brother, I mean, I labored hard. I'm a hard laborer. I'm a hard worker. I was raised to be a hard worker. But when I got saved, I worked hard at it. When I prayed, I thought, of course, it's before I really knew what I thought if you're supposed to pray constantly, how can I pray constantly? You know, I can only get 8 hours in. Literally, that's what I thought. So instead of being spiritual, I just literally didn't know any better. I didn't know that there was any other way. Let's take our callers tonight. Thank you for our 50 minutes of revelating and talking and sharing. I hope you're getting something out of it. All right. So good to have you tonight. Let's take our callers and see what's going on. We only have two people. I had three people with their hand up. I guess one of them got offended or something, or maybe got sleepy and fell off the chair, fell off the throne. What did he say? What was that? Exactly. All right, let's take our call here. All right, 325-260. Who am I talking to you from? I think this is Chris.
This is Kathy.
No.
Kathy from Texas.
Kathy from Texas. All right, Kathy. All right, have we talked before?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Kathy, good to have you. I'm going to mute you just for a second so you can hear a little mute on your end. And let's pray for you. Good to have you tonight, Kathy. And you said we talk. You kind of sound familiar, but, you know, I talk to a lot of people. So, but good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Kathy tonight, God. Lord, I thank you for her love realm, God, that you're dealing in her love realm, how to love. She wants to love and be loved. And that's a God-given passion. Anybody who doesn't want to love and be loved, it's not really of God. You've been hurt and wounded so bad. If you don't want to love and be loved, I mean, you may not feel like you need the love of a human being, you know, maybe, but the love of God, at least that. And then if you love God, you're going to love people, right? Yeah. So it's normal to have a passion to love and be loved. That's just God. That's God. That's what God made you. That's why he created you. And so what God does through his word, Kathy, is he teaches us how to get that love. It's not about how to give it. It's about how to get it, how to give it, and how to get it and keep getting it, how to receive it and keeping on receiving it, right? That's the whole key. Is when you learn how to receive love from God, which is our first love, then we can give that first love to our lovers, to our husbands, to our wives, to our children, to our in our family, to people, to sinners, the Christians, the brothers, right? So I thank you, Lord, for that drawing that she has, God, to draw from the wells of salvation, of love, in Jesus' name, to learn to walk in love, that when she gets that love from the Father, that she truly loves people with the love of God. And love sometimes just tells the truth. The love will tell you the truth, right? Love will love somebody enough to want to help them. And not just let them keep going floundering around. The love will tell them the truth, but it will do it in love. Love, of course, love tells them. But love and truth dwell together. Amen. And so thank you, Jesus, for that the power of love, God, that you're showing her how to let you love her, Lord, that she will learn how to let you love her more and more and more and more and more. So she's just overcome, overpowered with love, so she can give that love to people, that love to those that she loves. In Jesus' name, because the Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. In other words, give any room, give any love to anybody else except God. But when you give all your love to God, guess what? That love of ours, his love, flows from the throne and through us, and we start loving people with a love that is amazing. Yeah, amazing. People who just love, say they love God and don't love their brother, or don't know how to express that love. It's about expressing that love. Oh, I love you. We never really show it. So, but when God starts, God will show you, Kathy, how to love certain people, how to love certain children needs love in a certain way. Every child responds to love, not every child, but, you know, there's general groups of kids, of how people, how they respond to love. When you give them the love that they quote, identify with, they will respond to you. So God teaching you how to give the love that the person needs. Like I noticed most women, when you fix things for them, there's something about that. Not probably not all of them, but most women. I remember at times when in my marriage where I'd be, fixing something, and look up and just see my wife looking at me like with great love. Like, I'm thinking, what is going on? She's seen an angel or something? No, there was something about identifying with me fixing things for her that caused her to activate love. I mean, it just came naturally, you know. I wasn't sending her flowers. I was fixing something. I was getting my hands dirty. And had my head under the sink, putting in a garbage disposal or something like that. It's like, it's just love. Hi, honey, how are you? Like, something, you been drinking something? Yeah, literally. Anyway. Okay. Kathy, sorry I got off on all that. How are you doing tonight? Yeah. What's up?
Well, the only thing I really guess would be, I feel like about my husband and my marriage might be tested, so I don't know if, but we're not really
sure.
Your
marriage might be what?
So, tested.
Your marriage might be what?
Being tested.
Being tested. Oh, tested, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but
I think that's going to always happen. I think that's always going to happen in your marriage. I don't know what you mean by exactly by tested, but I think our marriages are always going to be tested. You just learn how to get through those tests together. You know, it's more of when we are tested, and I think you may mean tested in a special way, like going through a really extra hard time or something. I'm not sure what you mean by that. But either way, what happens with being tested is that we find out that we go through it together instead of separately. You know, we try to find out how can I show, like a husband needs to learn how to show love to his wife. You know, and it's not about laying hands on them and casting the devil out of them either. Unless they ask for that, you know. But and the other way around, too. But a husband has to learn how to give love to his wife. Women just want love, man. They want love. But there are certain ways that women, you know, identify with love. Everybody identifies love in certain ways. And we have to find out what our woman, how she identifies with love. And once you find that, man, it's easy to love. Because once you connect in with that, you're going to find out that 99% of the things you did, the husbands do for wives to show them love, is not, they're not identifying. It's a nice thing to do, you know, bring flowers, do whatever. But like with me, when I'm in there fixing something, if I ever want to get my wife's love stirred up, you know, one of the things I do is go in there and start fixing. Yeah, you know what? I'm finally going to fix that thing over there in the backyard. Okay. And pretty soon it's like, you know, I'm going like, are you having all of a sudden you're having a good day? How come you're having such a good day right now? It took me a while to figure out that, you know, that's one of the ways she identified love. And so if we don't find out during our trials how to give love or show love in the way that you're, I show love like this. That's the way I do it. If you don't like it, that's just too bad. You know, but if it's not the kind of love that your husband can identify with, then if it's just the way your mama showed your daddy love, if that's not working with your husband, then you might ought to change that, you know. And your husband, the same thing with you, to find out how you identify with love. So if you're going through a trial, you know, you go through it together and you learn how to love each other. It's all about love. I mean, really, don't you think or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay. Yeah, because it's husbands and wives. If you ever think that you're perfect, most people think that they're doing pretty good until they get married, and they're going, I don't know what happened when I got married. My life I just became a really weird person. No, it's because you got put in a position where you had to grow and learn. When before living by yourself, being single, it was easy because you didn't have anybody that you were connected at the hip. Where you had to, you know, if you didn't straighten out or straighten up or learn or grow, that your relationship is not going to be good. So you're forced to grow, and marriage is one of the most powerful ways to get a person to learn and grow and grow up and realize, hey, I got some issues here, and I need help with them, and hopefully my husband can help me or my wife can help me, and we can do this thing together, you know, hopefully.
Yes.
Okay. You can say anything you want. I mean, I'm a pretty open, blunt person myself. But I mean, you know, I don't expect you to say anything you don't feel comfortable saying, but you mean by tested, you guys are going through a hard time?
Well,
with each
just
other? Or what?
Not, well, like, of more, or more, I guess, spiritual kind of stuff.
Okay. Right.
Just,
right.
You know, just like, and just like, I guess, just spirit, more of the along the lines of spiritual things. That's more
like, give
of
me something.
Spiritual,
give me an example. I got you.
Oh,
okay,
like,
very good. Very good answer. Give me kind of an example you're talking about, if you would, please.
I guess just getting thoughts of in our heads of either my husband getting thoughts of other women, or me having thoughts of if I left. Just thoughts like maybe I should leave and just never come back, kind of, you know,
right.
Where it would be where we never had those thoughts before, and then it just like kind of pops into our head, and it's like, whoa, why am I thinking that?
Right, good point, really good point. Okay, very good, good part, good thing to think about. Okay, so that happens, right? Have you? One of the things that happens with people, Kathy, in marriage or in any kind of relationship is that once you've had lovers before, and I don't mean necessarily just sex partners, you know, that you loved and during your high school or whatever, that just any time you fell in love with somebody and you loved them and you had an image of them being your husband or a girl being your wife, and we always seem to have this perfect image of what we think. Oh, man, I love them. They love me. And it always does real good until you actually get married. And then you start realizing, oh, my God. So what happens is when you have affection toward another person, even though you never had sex with them, sex is the connect thing. Sex connects us. God made it. God Almighty made it, not the devil, but God Almighty made sex as a thing that connects us, and once we get connected like that, you never get separate from that person until you get proper prayer and break that soul tie, what I call a soul tie. And so sometimes when we get married and we start having a problem or an issue, or our husband doesn't do what we think, or our wife doesn't do what we think they should do, we start thinking about the perfect woman we thought, the other woman that we were thinking about, even though we may not even got to know them. We might have just had a crush on them and thought they'll be the perfect wife. I can just dream, even though it's a lie, probably not true. But because we let our emotions go there and we connected and we dreamed about it, and we thought about it, we meditated on it, even without sexual activity. Maybe that, here's the thing. Some people have sexual activity in their minds, you know, and so because they do that, that's also a whole other opening up of getting a connect. Even though you don't physically have that relationship yet, if you start dreaming about it, and, you know, thinking about it like a man, you know, would think about that with a woman or woman with a man, that kind of opens you up even more to be connected to them, even though you never actually had sexual relationships. So soul ties, sometimes those things have to be broken to where, because once you've had a sexual relationship, especially sexual relationship with another person, like in high school, you know, I had a sexual relationship in high school. I was a heathen. I didn't know Jesus before I got born again. And had a sexual relationship with a girl in high school, and you know, and so I didn't know it. I didn't know at the time. Nobody taught me that stuff. The Baptists didn't teach that. You know, I was raised Baptist. They didn't teach it. You know, so I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get thoughts of her out of my head. I can't get the thoughts. And anytime I date somebody else, I'd be dating some other girl. You know, because I'm not married to anybody yet. I'm still single in high school. I start dating another girl, and all of a sudden, you know, when I start having trouble with her, I start thinking about the girl I had sex with that I kind of had a one-night stand with or two-night stand. Why am I doing that? You know why? Because I got connected. When you have physical contact with sexual intercourse with somebody, you get connected with them in a way that God connects you, that you just don't get disconnected just because you never see them again. So it can be different levels, Kathy. It can be from sexual activity from before, maybe a one-time shot. Maybe you didn't necessarily have intercourse, but you just had a lot of physical affection, kissing, and, you know, the physical affection thing, and your mind went places, and, you know, just like love does. It's like, you know, that's fairly normal. And so when you do that, it connects you to those people. So if you do it with two or three people, you know, which is normal for most kids. Some kids have, you know, they have date two or three people in their high school day, maybe, and they got to kissing heavy and, you know, doing other things. Man, I've ever had sex, but they got very heavily involved in that kind of way. They get connected to them. And so after you have, like, more than one of those, you got two and three of those, you know, and you could have been just as pure as the driven snow. You just kissed and you loved. You didn't really have – you weren't some, you know, sexual pervert or, you know, whatever. That just having two or three girlfriends or boyfriends like that opens you up to, when you go too far with them, it opens you up to, you know, not adultery, but a thing of more than one person, more than one, you know, person. Does that make sense, or am I just kind of like kicking up the wrong tree?
No, that makes sense.
Okay. So what we have to do is we have to find out privately. You know, I've done this. I've done marriage counseling. I've done a pastor for years. I get people in my office and or on the phone or whatever, and I say, get them together and say, hey, y'all both there? Yeah. Okay. Now, okay. So you had sex with how many people? I had sex with a guy one time when I was, 15 years old. We fell in love and we just got carried away and, you know, whatever. And I said, okay. Well, she said it's only one night stand. I said, okay, that's all it takes. So what I do is I pray. I say, I want you to disconnect from them. So I have them pray a prayer that disconnects them from them, and I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I separate them like a divorce. I separate them from that person so that their emotions can be set free from them. And for the most part, they never think about them again like that. You see what I'm saying? It's that spiritual dimension of love and connection with other people is very powerful, and that's the way God made it. But once it's done, you have to learn how to disconnect it so you can walk away from it. And then every time you go through a battle with your husband or your wife, you don't go back to those relationships because you still are connected to them, you know, in spiritually speaking.
Okay.
Right. So did you expect this conversation or no? You know, you probably got going, oh, wow, I never thought about that before. Have you ever thought about that before? Or has anybody ever told you that? Or what do you think?
Well, I think I've heard about it like in passing kind of thing. It's just, I never thought about it, but I think I've heard it somewhere.
Yeah. I think it's not a new thing. Yeah. So you probably have, and it's true. It really is true. And I've dealt with this with myself
Before I got saved, I had, you know, sexual relationships with several women, girls, you know, get on drugs, get loaded, like back in the hippie days. That's what it was called, the love. It was love, you know, according to us back, because I didn't know Jesus as my Savior, right? So, you know, that's just what we did. We did drugs and pot or whatever, and that's just, it was just part of the culture we lived in. And so when I got saved years later, I had to get set free of all that. And it was very real. When I got cleansed of it, I could tell something left me. And it wasn't a demon. It was more of being disconnected from somebody's spirit, from their soul or whatever. And it literally cleanses you. And you feel like even though you already love God and you're pure to a certain degree, it purifies you in a way that you're going to go like, oh, my gosh, this is beautiful. So maybe you guys might want to find somebody that understands this stuff and get them on the phone or go to their office, you know, whatever you feel like you need to do. That might be one of the answers. I'm sure there may be other things connected to that, but that could be a big one. What do you think?
All righty. Well, we can look into it and see who we can find to talk to. So pray about it.
Right. And, you know, if you have problems finding somebody, you know, I can make myself available to help you guys on the phone, whatever. I mean, you know, I don't spend a lot of time on the phone with people. I don't really take phone calls much. But on special occasions, if it's an emergency or somebody, you know, I can do something. It will take, you know, one or two times to maybe one, you know, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, you know, if it really helps and you can't find somebody else to do it with you who understands it, then I would love to do that. So just pray about it. You guys, you know, ask the Lord to show you, you know, how to do that. And it's really simple and it's really beautiful and it's really easy. And it doesn't solve every problem about, you know, we have to, you know, there's other things involved too, but that is a major number one destroyer of relationships and marriage, is that they don't even think a thing about, you know, yeah, I never even really loved that girl. We just got carried away one night and had sex, and or we got intimate kissing and, you know, fondling, you know, with each other and touching each other's bodies, and, you know, and people don't realize that that stuff connects you. That's all made, God made it all beautiful and very, you know, sensual in the sense that of love and or in a relationship. It's a beautiful thing. God made it like that. But when you activate all that, it connects you like, you know, very few things do. That's why it's so powerful. That's why the Bible, Paul the Apostle says, you know, if you're going to go on a fast and your wife doesn't approve of it, be careful, because, you know, don't withdraw from sexual activity with your mate on a fast without their approval. Because that's, you know, and there's a lot, I mean, I could go on and on and on with the information about it all through the Bible, that sexual connections are very, they connect you like nothing else does. And they don't just go away by running away from the person or being away from them. You are connected. You could have a relationship in America and then fly, they stay in America and you fly to Italy or whatever, and you are connected. Until that gets disconnected, you're going to have what we call soul ties. And it needs to be dealt with, because you kind of get in bondage to it, you know. And it's people can't figure out, why do I keep wanting to go back to that person and I don't even love them? Because you got connected sexually or passionately, you know. And that's God made it like that, because it makes you want to be drawn to your wife or be drawn to your husband. When it's done, things are done outside of marriage, that's why the Apostle Paul and the Bible talks about, don't be doing sexual things outside of marriage, because it messes you up. It's not just because it takes away the fun of life, but because the connectivity that it has, it connects you. And then once you're connected, friend, you are connected forever until you have somebody pray over you who knows what they're doing, and in a sense have a spiritual divorce or a spiritual separation from that person. So, and I've seen it. I've prayed over a lot of people that stuff, and I've seen it change most people's lives in that area. It's amazing.
And
we don't have to get names. We don't have to get all. It's not about personal details or none of that. It's just a matter of coming before God. And yeah, so there's one answer. What else you want to talk about?
I guess that was the only thing I had questions about.
Okay.
But...
All right. Well, I hope I helped a little bit. And like I say, it's not the only answer. Okay.
That was all.
So I get an A. I get an A or B, a C or D or an F. Which one are you going to give me? Or you don't know yet?
I don't know yet.
Okay. I love that answer. That's great. You're smart. You're a smart girl. Good answer. I like that. All right. So you're not going to grade me yet. You're going to wait till and find out if it works, right? That's what you're going to wait for. Then you'll give me a grade.
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
Thank
that's
you
okay.
very much.
You don't have to know. It's all right. Yes, Kathy, thank you so much. Thanks for calling in, and call anytime you guys want.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay. You're so welcome. All right. Bye-bye. All right. 863-268. I think this is Charles and Nikki. I missed that last call.
All right. Bye. Hey, Randy.
Hey. Now, can you grade me on my last caller? I mean, can I get an A, B, C, or D, or E, or F? on that? Or did you even listen to it? I need help over here. I need somebody to kind of give me an A or a B at least, maybe a C. A C for Chandler, I guess, would be fine. But I don't want any D's. I don't like D's or F's.
Well,
I know what that means.
Okay,
like dumb and... What?
I'm laughing because today was Christian's last day of homeschooling. He graduated to the eighth grade, and I was his homeschool teacher, and I literally pulled out a report card and made him an official report card and put it in his file of his graduation from seventh grade to eighth grade, and I had to grade him. So when you busted out, can you grade me?
Okay, now I want to know what kind of grades did you give that boy? A's, I'm sure.
No, actually, you know,
okay.
I told Charles called me a teacher the other day, and I went, I'm not no teacher. He said, yes, you are. And I was like, I was thinking, you know, the position in the body of Christ, because I was talking about the seeing. I'm a seer. And I was talking about, he's like, you're also a teacher. And he just told me this yesterday. And then you come out with, can you grade me?
Hey, I'm just reading your mail, girl. That's it. Tell him
big
he's
time,
right on. Yeah.
Time.
That's funny. That is truly funny. Yeah, because I asked, I don't know if you were listening to the last caller when she got when we got through, and I took her through a really big thing about, you know, the soul ties and all that stuff, and I got through, and I don't even know why I asked her. I said, I've never asked anybody to grade me before. You know, I've never done that I know of. And I said, you going to grade me? I don't, why am I asking her to grade me? I don't even know. And then I get you on here, and I found out, okay, I'm going to blame that on Nikki then. That is hilarious.
Yeah, that's great. So, anyway.
How does that stuff work, man? That's crazy, isn't it? How that works. Now, you're my next caller.
I love how you and your friend flowed last night and how y'all talked about how you flowed with each other. And I enjoyed every bit of it. Matter of fact,
really?
I loved one of his books. I mean, it was so amazing, the whole story, how y'all's relationship is. It's just absolutely a God thing. I mean, God all over it. And I just loved it.
Yeah.
And that. How it works. You flow with God, and God is everywhere at all times, and that's how that works, right?
Yeah, what's amazing with is how when we put him together, you know, all the different things that he set up. I mean, he set up, he did all the work, you know. I always felt so bad because I don't feel like I gave him the credit because he did all the work. I mean, he would go into places and he'd say, I have this prophet, friend of mine, he's a you know, whatever he'd say, you know, something really juicy, I'm sure, and making up stuff, you know, like, yeah, he's really awesome. He's just almost lying, but not quite. But he's really, you know, you really need to have him in your church. And the pastor goes, you know, we don't like prophets around here, you know, stuff like that. And he just wouldn't give up, man. He just said, well, you know, but this guy, he's different. You know, he don't do it like other people do it. And, I mean, he didn't take no for an answer, that guy. And that's the way he is with God. You know, it's obvious in that testimony how he had COVID and the worst kind that everybody died from, or most people died from. And man, I mean, I said, dude, I'm not surprised at all that the devil just probably goes, man, I got to get out of here. He's whooping me bad, you know, with his, you know, the way he did. Man, it's just the way he is. He don't take no for an answer, and he's telling God, I'm not giving up. When he was doing all that, I'm thinking that's truly the Ken that I know, that he don't give up on it. He went to this worldwide ministry in the area of East Texas, there in East Texas, and there's several worldwide ministries there, and he went to one of them. He actually went to a couple of them. I'm not going to name their name because he wouldn't let me name the names, but he went in there and he said, hey, I got this, the same thing he always did, this little thing he did. I don't even know what it was. He was just, I got this worldwide ministry, right? They have people all over the globe, literally. In some of the most, you know, heated places in the globe, they have people all over the place that are undercover agents, so to speak, to, you know, I mean, it's an amazing place. And he's trying to get me in there, right, to prophesy. Oh, no, we don't need that around here, you know, because they're big, huge, you know, they're spiritual. They don't need nothing, you know, they're doing great. And he just kept pounding away at them until they said, oh, you know, for some reason, somehow, they said, okay, bring him in, we'll test him, you know. And so they tested me, I guess, and God, you know, gave me an A on that one, I think, or a B at least. And from then on, man, I mean, their whole ministry, you know, went, and that's just the way he was. It was because of him. He opened up those doors. If it had been me that had told me, no, we don't like prophets, I'd go, yeah, I really don't blame you. Okay, we'll talk to you later. But not him. He's going like, well, you don't understand. I mean, he'd just keep after them until they would change their mind. So I was feeling sorry for God when he was in that room where he had COVID. They left him in there to die. I was feeling sorry for God. I was going, God, you know, I mean, you're dealing with Ken Chen here. He's going to wear you out until you let him have what he wants. So anyway, it kind of reminds me of you a little bit, I think.
Oh, I was just going to say he's got tenacity. That's what the word is.
Yeah, he does.
Got tenacity.
Yeah. Believe me, even his wife in the book, I'll send you the book. And even in the book, his wife, which I know his wife, you know, we're all friends, you know. And I used to see them all the time. I went to East Texas all the time there for a while. We went from church to church, to ministry to ministry. I mean, that guy worked it hard, boy. And he just dragged me along, and I'd just do my thing, and he'd do his, and it was a great teamwork. And, yeah, and his wife says in the book, she says, yeah, that's Ken Chen, that's my husband. he just doesn't give up, man. He don't quit. Wow, it's amazing, that guy.
What the body needs.
Yeah.
There's more people like him.
I need that. I know.
I need that.
Yeah. Well, me too. In some ways, I'm like that. I mean, in some ways, I am, but not like that. I mean, he just like I said, he was talking to a, you know, a large ministry, global, literally global. They have I don't want to get into all that, but because anyway, I want to tell the stories of some of the things that God did for that ministry. Through the prophetic, because they invited us back several times. Once we broke the ice and the Lord read their mail and told them what was going on in the high levels of their ministry, which only a couple of people knew about. And they were in that first meeting that they set me up and tested me. And when the Holy Spirit showed me and I just told them what was going on in the high levels of business and in their ministry, you know, the highest level, they just went, okay, he's in. And from then on, it was like, you know, some of the things that God did, man. I mean, I could tell stories that still, when I think about them, are mind-boggling on how one time I before I went, Ken said, yeah, we got another meeting of those guys. I'm going, okay, I'll be up there. What time? Yeah, I'll be up there. Okay, we'll meet. And so the Lord said, get a map. I got a map of some global, around the globe, some nation out in the middle of nowhere. And the Lord said, I want you to take that with you today. I'm going like, okay, for what? Just take it with you. I've taken it with me, right? So we meet, and I told Ken about it. I said, the Lord told me to bring this map with me, and he said, okay, whatever, you know. So we pulled up to the place, going to get out. He said, you didn't grab the map. I said, yeah, you know, I'm not going to bring that map. I don't even know why I need that map. I don't know what that map's all about. God just told me to bring the map. I'm not going to bring it. I feel like a fool. They're going to think I'm an idiot, you know, bringing the map in here. And I don't know anything. I don't even know anything about this map. What's this map even? I don't even know what's that. So he said, get it. And he actually went and got it. And that's just the way he is. I'm just bragging about him, you know. And he got the map. We took it in there. He's here, Randy. You know, what did God tell you about the map? So I grabbed the map, right? And these people are around the globe. And I said, well, here's this map. And let me show you what God told me. And I pointed to this, God knows where it is, place, somewhere between Russia and Iran and Georgia. And, you know, I pointed to it. And Ken will tell you, their mouths dropped open. Their mouths dropped open, girl. I noticed it. He looked at me and said, man, what? Then he knew something was up because he knew me pretty well. He said, there's something up with it. Well, sure enough, I can't tell you everything about it, but the people that they had, that they brought in, that came in from those, just happened to come in from that country, that were a missionary under attack in that particular country, in that particular place that I was pointing to, and didn't even know what I was pointing to. That very person that they had brought in for safety and protection was from that place. And they dropped, wow, their mouth dropped open. They said, and they took me off from this way back corner of the offices in a secret place where nobody could, you know, because their stuff is so secret, what they do. And they took me back to that place right there, right? I didn't know what was going on. I didn't even know what the map. I still don't even know what the map thing is about, right? I'm just doing what God told me to do, and they're just like, you know, okay, let's get him back here. So they took me back to this. Now I know was their most private, secret place. So that place where the conversation could not be recorded or listened to, right? So me and Ken always went with me everywhere. He's the one that set him up, right? We're walking through the door, and they've got about six or seven or eight people sitting in there around the table looking at me like, you know, like, well, I don't know what they were looking at me like, but they're very serious. And they said, they said, Ken, you can't go in there with him. And they would not let Ken go in there in that meeting with me because of what was about to happen. And when I got in there and I started prophesying, I didn't even know what the map was about or what that lady that they put up in a chair and said, can you prophesy over this woman? I said, sure. You know, that's what I'm here to do, you know. And I started prophesying to her, man. And what happened was that I don't even know if I could say it or not. It was so mind-boggling. I started prophesying to this woman, right? Never seen her in my life. I had never seen any of them in my life, and except for the times I've been there before. But, this people was a whole different group of people I've never seen before. Why am I here in this secret room, back room, back in the back? And they're all acting kind of a little serious. And they brought the map, and they're with them, and they're looking at this lady, and they're saying, can you prophesy over it? Well, it just so happened that the word of the Lord talked about her and what she was going through in that nation, in that city, in that place that I put my finger on the map and said, something's going on right here. I don't even know what it is. And that's when they took me back. And girl, I'm telling you, stuff like that went on time after one way or the other, time after time after time after time after time. They had secret missions that nobody knew about. They were in there undercover with governments. And I can't even say all of it, but they worked with some high-level agencies and to uncover things that went on in countries with the presidents and the creepy, crawling leadership in those nations. They were there to uncover it. And when they found out that they were there, it wasn't good. And
Wow. Anyway,
so I can't believe I got up on that. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but I'm just telling you that's what God used him to open up the door for. That was not about me. I would have never been there. I would have never been there. And all those things wouldn't have happened. And I could go on and tell you story after story after story after story after story of things that went on. It was mind-boggling to me and to us. I mean, because, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't have a clue. I get information, and I tell people what I hear and I see, and I never know what it means exactly. And sometimes people don't know what it means either until later on. Sometimes they know right then, sometimes they don't know until later. And so, anyway, I started thinking about all that stuff today and reminded me of how God connected me. Listen to this. I mean, I'm going to say this real quick, and then I'm going to move on. And I got stirred up about this with him on, and that's good. That, through a lot of stuff, not everything Ken did, but a lot of things that Ken did with that ministry and other things and other places and political people. And when I met my concubine, that all happened through ministering to a lady on the phone. I didn't even know who I was ministering to. I was praying for Janet Folgers, who set me up to pray over political leaders and come to a meeting where she was having a debate right before the election, and seven people she invited, I was called to come up. She called me. She said, come up here, because I think God's going to show you who's going to be our next, be the David over the United States of America. I said, what? She said, yeah, come on and show up and bring some oil. Of course, I forgot the oil, because I'm such a great man of God, you know. I forgot the oil, because I don't have any oil, you know. I just buy oil, you know. And forgot the oil. She got a little upset about that. But, you know, all that happened through him. You know, and I got connected globally, you know, from that instance, from instances with that ministry, that global ministry. I've prophesied to people that were around, and I can't even tell you everything because it would, you know, might be, you know, dangerous, of how God got, I don't even know what they nicknamed me, but they nicknamed me something. And whatever it was, that got spread around the globe. Around the globe, and I don't talk about it much because it sounds kind of whatever. But you know what? I decided I don't give a rip what anybody thinks. I'm going to tell you what God has done through PGN before it was PGN, and what it's doing now. And some of you guys, you don't have a clue what's really going on. I can't even tell you. I every once in a while when I do talk about some stuff, I just feel awful when I get through going, oh my God, that sounded so. Blah, blah, blah. They think I'm blah, blah. You know, not you guys, but, you know, people who listen. And we have people who listen to this show that are connected to global things, that listen to this show and probably listening right now, privately and secretly, because of what one of the things, not everything that he did, I got connected to CFNI and got connected to people around the globe there and prophesied to CFNI and their whole leadership. You know, in one prayer, God opened up what was going on in the privacy of their leadership meeting that nobody knew about except the people I was praying for in that meeting, in a prayer meeting, in a weight room at Christ of the Nations. I don't know what they were doing there. You know, all of a sudden they said, can you pray? And I said, sure, I can pray. I didn't know what was going on. I started prophesying, you know, not even know what I'm doing. And I'm reading. They know. They're the only ones there that know what's going on. Nobody else even knew what I was talking about. They knew. There was a major change going on at Christ for the Nations Institute, and Ken didn't really have anything to do with that one. That was another group of people. But when you start seeing, Nikki, how people God uses people to connect you to, and how God used Ken, and he doesn't even know everything. How he connects us through those situations like that. And I was just willing to go prophesy just because I like to prophesy. You know, I wasn't trying to be, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, through things that happened at Daystar, that I gave my testimony there about the revival that went on there, that opened me up to a whole nother level. You know, I'm going like, God, you know, we just got to be faithful, Nikki, with what God gives us. That's all I've done. I've not done anything particularly magnificent at all. I've just done with the little things God's given me to do and been faithful to it, you know, and I'm sure I've failed many times, but for the most part, God gave me the grace to be faithful to him. And because I did, he's made, like God told Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. Well, God made my name, great, if you will, or well known, you know, not in popularity with, you know, I have masses of people showing up my meetings. But we have people listening to this show right now that know that when I say something about the market, I say something about political things, we say something about things, they listen closely, more closely than some of those who love me listening, because they know how important that information is to what's going on with people that they know. Anyway,
I'm sure.
All right, let's move on.
A lot of,
I got that out in the open.
Yeah, I was going to say, plus,
sorry.
I'm sure a lot of times when they listen to, especially if it has to do with the market, it's a benefit for them in some kind of aspect. And
oh, yeah,
they do
of
listen.
Course it is.
Yeah, and so they're going to listen. They may not like you in particular, but they know that you hear from God.
Yeah.
I love you, Randy. I mean, I just love
you.
Oh,
I know you do.
So,
I appreciate
yeah,
that, too.
So I don't have any other motives. I just love you, and I love how you pray, and I love your personality, how you, you know, express the word, and I love your aspect on God's word, And I just love you. And Charles does too.
Thank you so much.
The people that will always be around, Andy.
Well, you guys, that's what I say. You guys have become my, PGN has become my family, that even though I don't see you guys, I feel you, I hear you, I talk. That's why I like to talk. That's why I like Mondays and Tuesdays, because sometimes I get to just talk to people, you know, a little bit without prophesying from one person to the next. You know, we do that on Wednesdays now. We kind of got a fine running machine as far as I'm concerned of how we do this, because I love to talk to you guys. I love it when we pray together. You know, I miss it. I feel love from you guys, from my PGN family. I literally feel love from you guys. You guys keep me going. And I can't say everything that's going on, though sometimes I open my big fat mouth and do it anyway. And then I wonder if I'm going to reap the repercussions from it, thinking, God, did I mess up? Am I talking too much? You know, blah, blah, blah. And so, I don't know. He's merciful and kind. That's all I can say. But also, I want people to know on PGN, that are part of PGN, that, listen, you're part of something that it may not look like it to most of us, but we have, you know, from all the different people that have been, they've kept up with what I do, you know, because they never know when, they don't know, you know, like I don't have so much information all the time, but they know that the information that I get from past experiences, they know when I get it from God, of course, then they know that's going to be important somehow or another. And sometimes it's very important to them personally. Sometimes it's important to the people they hang out with. Sometimes it's important to the group of prophets that they hang out with. And so when we give information about things, they're listening pretty closely because they're smarter than most people. They know that the information that what we get, when you have somebody who contradicts everybody, you know, like we did the Trump thing as an example, when you have somebody who contradicts everybody, basically, and happens to get it right, you know, you think that smart people who are really smart don't connect in and find out, who is this person? What does he do? He sounds like an idiot sometimes, but he seems to also get some really great information. So maybe we should listen a little more and pay somebody. Some of these people, girl, have money that they pay people. Pay them to listen. Pay them and take care of them financially to find out what we're saying, just in case it's something about them or something about their whatever, their part of the world, or their, you know, financially or politically or whatever's going on. They listen closely. When we started giving all that information about Trump in 2018, I mean, people don't even realize how big that was. I didn't even realize how big it was until the George Bush Republicans, Liz Cheney, who was in an interview about two or three weeks ago, I heard it myself. She said, as a George Bush Republican, her father was George Bush's vice president, Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney. I don't know if you keep up with all that or not, but she was one of the most popular Republicans ever. So now what's Donald Trump doing? He's tearing it all up, boy. Woo, thank God. And doing a great job of it. God, the way we love you, Donald Trump. But the problem is that dream that I had revealed that the George Bush Republicans were going to try to take him out. And when I heard Liz Cheney 3 weeks ago saying those exact words, I mean exact words, she said, we as Republicans are going to make sure that Donald Trump does not become president of the United States. I don't know if you heard that interview or not. I did personally. And I heard that. God let me hear it. I went, oh, my God, that's a George Bush Republican. So in the dream in 2018, I was in a meeting with George Bush Republicans. Now I know that meeting that I was in actually happened down the road in the future. I don't know when it happened. But Liz Cheney revealed that they had gotten together and they decided as George Bush Republicans to stop Donald Trump. Was the exact confirmation of that dream I had in 2018. I mean, yeah, October 24th, 2018. Exactly. And so, you know, the reason I'm saying that is that that's just one of many things that we could talk about that people don't realize on PGN. You know, they're not really here for the politics. They're not really here for the market. They're just here because they love Jesus and they want to be a part of what God's doing. And, you know, they love God. And they love me and they love what we do and all that. And it's a very special part of PGN. But they don't really realize how massive that information is to people. And once people know that that goes on, you think that these people are not stupid, man. They will pay people because they got millions and millions and billions of dollars to pay somebody $300 a week to listen to what we say or have an algorithm thing where they come in and they can sweep across information of every one of our shows and find out where information is about politics, market, you know, whatever, certain people. Yeah, there's all kinds of ways that most people are not even aware of that you can go through a whole 3-hour show in about 15 seconds and sweep through that with a little machine that tells you every word that has to do with something that they're interested in. So most people, PGN, they're not here for all that. They're just here because they love God. They're here because they love the prophetic. They love Jesus, and they don't know about that. But there's people out there, Nikki, that's all they're interested in. And believe me, they are paying attention, and they should. And I could go on and on, but I'm going to stop because this is not what we're on here for tonight. I don't know what's going on with me. Last night stirred me up, as you can tell. I'm a little stirred up. So, hallelujah.
I loved it. Last night was great. If I would have stayed completely on the entire time, but my phone, I call from my home phone, and it's a cordless phone, and I started wearing the battery. Started. And next thing you know, I got a phone dead, and then I can't call back in because it's too late. So I miss.
Too late. Yeah.
I missed a few minutes of it or whatever, but I got I got most of it. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. I don't know if you have other friends that you want to interview, but I am a fan. I am a fan.
Well, you got it.
I love. Yeah, that was so good. It was really good, Randy. I loved hearing the testimony, and I could feel the anointing on what he was saying, and it just was just so good. It made my heart smile. I was like, yes, you go, God. I mean, and the way he was so humble, and it's just so good. I mean, I was like, that was a blessing. That was a true treat right there. I know you mentioned, well, I didn't plan on interviewing this long. I was going to go ahead and minister to people. But, you know, it just so happened it happened that way. And I thought, it's okay, Randy. Like, you know, you don't always have to minister to everybody. I mean, in my opinion, it can be a different night. It's okay, you know, and I loved it. So, anyways, I encourage you to do it more often. You know, I just
yeah,
love it.
You know, I've interviewed you guys a little bit. One time, there's a few times, I don't know if you connected on that, but where we got you guys telling some of your stories, and I love that. That's what I miss about that I haven't gotten, you know, when we left the studio, and oh, hang on a second. Okay, I'm back. You know, that's what I, you know, want to do. The reason I love video and I love TV and I want TV and television and access to television is because I love to interview people. You know, I love it. It is so much fun to talk about somebody else's stuff. You know, the glory of God, like last night, like something that I felt on talking about his testimony, man, his testimony last night, like you said, was so anointed.
Yeah, it was
and,
so good.
And it says by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we conquer Satan. I'm telling you, man, last night the devil's butt was getting kicked through his testimony.
Yeah.
You know, it was just amazing. And
yeah,
I just I want to do that more, yeah.
Yeah, I hope that you do, Randy. I really do. I love hearing what God has done for people and the different facets of the way God does things. I mean, I just love it. Anything to do with God, I'm about it. And I really love it when I hear, you know, something that's brand new that I have never heard before. And and his testimony was so good. I was like, yeah, it made me cry. It made me laugh. It made my heart smile.
Yeah.
And I got all over it. I said, oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, and we go way back, man. Like I said, I, you know, that guy, I mean, he's just one of the most unique people I've ever met. And just, you just don't want to tell him no. That's all I can tell you. He used to call me.
He's a warrior.
You know, he's a, exactly. And the devil has tried to take him out more than once. I mean, you know, like, I mean, the devil goes like, I don't like this guy. Let's get rid of him. And God knows. I mean, just what God did through him with me. I mean, you know, he doesn't even realize the impact of what he did and how God used him. If it had not been for him and God using him, we give God all the glory. Of course, always give him the glory. But I give people the credit because they lay their life down. They give their life for what goes on. And he laid his life down, and God used it to raise me up. I mean, literally, at a whole other level. I'd already been known already in a lot of ways, but not near. Like, it's like it just went from one level to the next level, from then to Christ for the Nations, and then, you know, the Daystar Network thing where, you know, Marcus Lamb took my testimony and pumped it around the globe. Wherever he'd preach, he'd do. And because God used him, you know, bring me to a whole new place. And I've always given him credit for that. You know, he's a merchandiser and he has issues, but I still loved him like a brother, you know. And I had to speak rough with people sometimes because I'm a prophet. It's my job. But my tender part of me hates doing it. I mean, I hate doing that. And when I get through, I'm going like, dear God, I wish I wouldn't have said it like that, you know. But when I get in the spirit, you know, and the boldness comes on me, it just comes right out real plain and clear and to the point. And there ain't no piddling around. And, you know, but the other part of me just doesn't like that. I mean, the other part of me, that's the part of me that didn't want to be a prophet. When God told me I was going to be a prophet, I went, God, no, please. You know, that's one thing I didn't want to be as a prophet. You know, I want to be a healing evangelist, you know. That's what I want to be. Well, I'm sorry, Chandler, you're not going to be one of those. You know, dear God, no, not one of those. So I just didn't understand what a prophet was. But so, yeah, anyway, but God uses people, man, and what God's done, even on PGN and through people here, you know, and they don't even have a clue, some of them, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, and one of these days I'll talk about all of it, but. Anyway, so, yeah, testimonies. Let's believe God. You know, we've talked about for a while with you guys, getting your testimony. And we've got some of your testimonies here on PGN, but just on Blog Talk, right? You guys, you've gotten on here, and we've laughed and talked about you and Charles and some of the things you guys went through and, you know, and got some pretty good stuff. Like when the first time I met you guys, we met at IHOP after a meeting there in Florida, and you guys started telling me your testimonies, and I laughed the whole time. I mean, it was so powerful and hilarious at the same time, you know, which I love those kind. I mean, it was beautiful.
Yeah. And that's why you can laugh. And me and Charles, we really laughed because we were the ones doing it and being it, and God was using us to do it to each other and everything. And the way that we think and our personalities was all mixed into it. And it was just so funny.
Yeah.
And it was so God.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't even get mad or offended if somebody laughs at our testimony because it is funny. It is.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
It's hilarious.
It's like cartoon. It's so bizarre that you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
And so, you
can't
know,
make it
I
up.
Love, yeah, that's why I like hearing other people's testimonies because if it's anything like mine and Charles's, it's going to be good. It's just going to be good. And whatever way it's just so.
Yeah, all of it,
yeah,
whatever. It's yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So, anyways, I just love last night.
Yeah, I love it.
And
we're putting that stuff over the airwaves, and like with y'all's testimony too, when we've had a little bit we've gotten here on the show. I'm going like, I one night when we got through and you guys were both talking, we were laughing, we were talking about all that, and I go, thank God we finally got a little snippet of that on PGN. I know the devil just hated that, man. Like, you know, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. I said, man, when y'all's testimony was going forth, that I remember it's been a couple of times, maybe several times, in different ways, at different levels. I'm telling you, you talk about knocking the devil in the head. Woo! Wow. And just like Ken's testimony, you know, and other people's testimony, things that they go through, we need to get them out there and get them told. And so, yeah, we need to pray about that more, that somehow I have so many dreams about what we need to PGN, but there's so much that we got to fit in with the time. And we got, I guess we could be on 24 hours a day. We are set up to do that if we want to. But just figuring all this stuff out, man. We need somebody to be a to help me to figure out how to do that and do it, you know, and actually do it, actually set it up and get it going, and make sure that everything's right, so I don't have to do all the work. And you know, I don't mind doing the work, but it's hard to do the work and, you know, be a part of the testimony too at the same time. So we really need to pray about that.
Yep. I think it would be the next level to PGN.
Yeah.
You know,
I think you're right.
Yep, it's a good avenue because, like you said, we overcome by our testimony and the word of the Lord, I mean, and the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's so biblical, and it goes along with communion and other holy things, and to give God
uh-huh.
glory. You know, it's just another aspect of being a Christian, you know, a man and woman of God that walk in this kingdom that, you know, far can understand or be able to fully express it. And at one setting, there's so much attribute to God that we would be here for days on end, you know, just saying, you know, and
yeah.
God is this and God is that, and look what he's done here, and look what, I mean, it's just so much of it, but I really believe to hear the body tell their testimony, that might be something, Randy, you could take each person on PGN and ask them, like maybe take a
yeah.
few, I don't know, 30 minutes or an hour, I don't know, whatever, and just set it aside.
Whatever, yeah.
Like Wednesdays, you know, Wednesdays is all day praying. And, you know, I would take, I know we only have 4 days, but somehow, I mean, we just ask God how to work it, but that we would be able to share our testimonies. And then once that's locked
yeah.
into a spot in PGN, then
the
anyone
yeah.
that has a new testimony can send it to this department of PGN. And, you know,
right.
we'll be able to out. And listen, you know, to segment, you know, a piece of it or something, and, you know, just, I don't know. But anyways, I'm just, like, shooting things out the top of my head at you. But,
I
yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, good. It's just something to
yep.
think about, if nothing else. Pray about it, see what the Lord tells you,
yep.
Being, you know, the head
right.
of this ministry.
Right.
So,
awesome.
Anyways.
Awesome, yeah.
I do
so
have
what's
a
going
special
on y'all's
prayer.
But... Okay. Awesome.
I do have a special prayer request. I have been, something has been brought to my attention tonight right as you were coming on, and I don't really want to get,
okay.
like, into detail at all, but it's pretty crucial, and I just, the parties that are involved, they mean a lot to me. Matter of fact, I changed diapers with these grown adults that
no.
this is involved. And so these adults are like my children, and I love all of them and the parties that are involved. It's more than
yeah.
two people. And so, like I said, I don't really want to get into it, but I just want some prayer on what was just brought to
all
my
right.
attention tonight. And I'm just going to leave it at that because I know God knows and he'll speak through you and all. So that is my prayer request. And if we could, please pray for my son. Tomorrow's his birthday. And, yeah.
Okay.
I'm asking for prayer for Josh.
Joshua.
Yep, Joshua.
All right.
And you didn't pray for
all
me
right,
and Charles.
Let's do that.
And Charles I think, is awake now. He can hear you. We can hear you together.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
Charles.
Okay, let's do that. I'm going to mute you. Oh. Hello? All right. She's trying to wake Charles up. All right, we'll give Charles a minute to wake up. I know when I first wake up, I can growl like a bear if you mess with me too much. I might even bite you. Not literally, but spiritually speaking. All right, so thank you, Lord, for Charles and Nikki, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the situation going on, God, that you bring the real issues that are really things that need to be uncovered, but uncovered in a way that it can be done with peace and with a purpose and intention of healing and ministering and making things work together, where people work together and work things out instead of like all being at the one person or blaming everything on one person or faulting one situation instead of looking at the root of the issue. And I thank you, Lord, that you open up. We're in a season. I think we're in a time like never before where God's going to go to the root of things, and we're going to see the root of issues, not just the fruit of them. We pluck the fruit off, it just grows right back. Why? Because that bad fruit has roots, and that tree has to be dealt with in the roots and the plant to get new things going on. So we thank you, Lord, that you, in this situation, God, that you go to the root of the issues, in Jesus' name, and claim the souls, claim those back to the kingdom of God to walk with the true and living God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing order, in Jesus' name. I command that disorder to be disengaged. I thank you, Lord, for putting things in order, for ordering their steps. The steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. Let them see their righteous steps. Hallelujah. The right to be right with God and right with one another. The Bible says if you love, if you say you love God and don't love your brother, there's something wrong with that. So we need help to find out what's preventing us from loving our brothers. Amen. And going to the root of issues and laying our lives down for others in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing those death of those, the fruit of all that in that tree. We curse it at the root in Jesus' name, and let the truth be brought forth. Let things be uncovered. Because roots are things that are under the ground. They need to be uncovered. They need to be rooted up, and new trees and new thoughts and new things to be planted, so that they just keep coming to the same cycle of the same problem over and over again, and it manifests in different ways. But it's always the same basic problem. Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Lord, I think for Josh, God, his birthday tomorrow, God, we thank you, Lord, that he remembers, you know, his youth. That he remembers that you show him in the confusions and things. We all go through the confusions when we're growing up. As I was a kid, I grew up. I know every person knows what it's like to grow up, and you wonder who you are and what you are. All that and all kinds of thoughts go through your head and all kinds of creepy crawling things around you and makes you wonder if you're like this or like that and you don't know and you're messed up and you don't know. And that those vulnerable years, God, and let him go back and to the purity. That's why the Bible says we must be born again. So we enter into the purity of who we are and what we're being created to be by God. Hallelujah. So we can see the purity, because that's what we all want. We all want purity. We think purity, different things. Different people think different things about what purity is, and they think purity is the love between you know the wrong kind of people and the perversion type of love. That is, perversion means that neither either evil and wicked. It just means that it's perverted. It means that it's not normal. It's not normal, and that can happen between a man and a woman. It can happen between two men. It can happen between two women. It can happen between, you know, different situations where love is perverted. It's not normal. It's not pure in God's eyes. Bring the purity, God, and Josh. Let him see that. Let him crave it, God. And come to you for that purity. Come to you for who he is and what he isn't. And what he's supposed to be and what he's not supposed to be, God. Hallelujah. Open up that place in his heart, God. Refresh him. Amen. And show him
what being in God's image is like. Beautiful it is. How powerful and satisfying it is. In Jesus' name. Happy birthday present. Amen. For Nikki and Charles, Lord, thank you for Charles, God. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving them testimonies, God, different kinds, different levels, and different ways. God, we thank you, Lord, for that the testimonies don't just begin when we get saved, but they continue because your heart, Charles's heart, continues to go towards you, God, continually going towards you, continually abiding you and making love perfect. We talked tonight about 1 John about making love perfect. Perfect love casts out fear. We're trying to cast out fear with imperfect love, with our own love. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen. And I thank the Lord for Charles, God, to show him more and more what pure love is, the love of God. And in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name, hallelujah, God. Thank you for your glory of Charles, God. Teaching your ways, hallelujah, your ways, perfect love, perfect love, perfect love, perfect love. How to perfect that love, God. We have fear and torment about judgment. I'm talking about tonight, 1 John, that torment that comes with about the final judgment and where we're at on all that, if we're always struggling with that, battling with that, God, that you said that, perfect love casts out that fear, the fear of judgment, the fear of being judged, and that day of judgment. Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up the unknown realm to him, God. Lord, he's not afraid of the unknown, not in any fashion or form. Most men are not afraid of certain things, but there's some things that I found myself afraid of. Didn't even know I was afraid of it. By watching the surgery, I was an emergency medical technician, worked for the ambulance and the fire department in Clovis, New Mexico. And they take you through a class of EMT, emergency medical technician, right? You learn how to treat people in an ambulance. So we go and watch hospital operations, actually go to the hospital and watch operations. While we did that, I never know what we did. So we're sitting there watching the operation. Some guy had broken his nose several times, getting hard to breathe his nose. So they were putting he was awake, but they deadened his nose, and they had a hammer and a chisel, a little bitty hammer and a little bitty chisel, and they were chipping away at that nose. And I could hear that chip, chip, chip. And for some reason, I'd never thought it, with that chipping of that bone, I'm sitting there, I need to, somebody loosen up my mask. Well, my mask didn't need loosening. I was starting to get ready to pass out. I would have never thought that. And I'm a tough man. I'm not tough. And yet that one thing just messed with me. And I went, oh, my gosh, my mask is just falling. They've loosened my mask up, it was falling up. And little did I realize that chipping away that bone, for some reason, tapped into something inside of me, and I was going out, literally. It was shocking. I was embarrassed. I thought, oh, my God, they're going to think I'm a wimp, or whatever. And, and it's really weird. So we have things like that, spiritual things that sometimes we don't think it bothers, and all of a sudden, boom, it's messing with us. We got fear about it, fear of the day of judgment or whatever. We're going to make it, all this stuff. And that fear keeps us from walking in pure love. So I thank you, Lord, for walking him through that in Jesus' name, perfecting love. Perfecting that love, God, so you can use him to the full. You're already using God. You want to use him 100%, 100-fold, that nothing hinders him from flowing in the love of God, which is what everybody craves and wants. Daddy's pure love. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. And for Nikki, God, tonight, thank you, Lord, for Nikki, God. We thank you for her heart being satisfied with the love of God. You're showing her how to tap in. We know that human beings, we talked about this tonight in our teaching, human beings are made to be a blessing to us and to love us,
but we have to have the love of God first. And I thank you, Lord, that as Nikki walks in that, learns to walk in that, learns how to find the balance of that. Well, we get don't get totally frustrated because somebody is not loving us like this, like they should. You know, not everybody's going to love us the way we should. I don't know a human being that loves perfectly. It just doesn't happen. So when we don't get that love from that person, you know, in that particular way, they may leave us 100 different ways, but that one particular way, we feel lonely, feel dissatisfied, that we learn that God, that only you can satisfy that. And you love us first. We love you first because you loved us first. Now we can love you back. And I thank you, Lord, that love realm, God, and Nikki, God, increasing and multiplying and growing and becoming abundant in Jesus' name, abundant life or abundant love in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Opening up that divine love in Jesus' name. Amen. Meeting their needs, God. When you tap into love, your needs get meet. You draw provision in. Love always draws provision. Whatever that provision is needed, it draws in. Love draws it in. Let them learn how to draw, even more so, draw in through love their provisions. Their needs being met, God. Amen. All right. 562-806. I think it's Cynthia from Missouri or is it Missouri? Mississippi?
Mississippi.
One of them. Mississippi, okay. I was trying to think. I had a picture of a river. I thought that's got to be the Mississippi. When I think of you these days, yeah.
Well,
all right. Go ahead.
I just had to call and tell you, so you can tell your friend. My cousins are all doing so much better, and my aunt is completely back to normal. And so thank y'all so much for the prayers. I just am amazed at God. He just never stops to amaze me. It's just I wanted to give him the glory.
Yeah, I'm going to have to send that to him. Let me do it right now.
Okay.
Let me say the lady named from... I'm going to do it right now, if you don't mind. Last night.
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you. So, reported or testifies. Okay, you said that we prayed for like 3 or 4 people, right? You said which one was doing really good?
You prayed for 4. Uh-huh. My cousin, Dawana, and... her husband Larry, and my other cousin Terry, and my Aunt Lois, all of them.
Aunt Lois? Yeah, and you said
my Aunt Lois
is doing a lot better?
She's back to normal, and she's in her 80s.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I got to write all this down so I can make sure it gets him. He'll love this.
And all the rest of them are doing so much better.
Been better? Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm going to say Aunt Lois is completely, and the rest are doing good.
Yes, very well.
Much better, maybe. Much better. All right, and the rest are doing much better, all 4 of them. All right, I just sent that to him. So he'd be glad to hear that. Yeah, so he had, as you heard his testimony, he caught, and all of them had COVID. I don't know if you ever said COVID or not. You probably did, but all of them had COVID. So we stopped the show last night after I saw your text, and we asked Ken to pray for them, and he did. And, his testimony is amazing. He actually started feeling bad on Christmas Eve, goes to the ER, and they sent him home, goes back a couple of days later, and they sent him back home again, did that 4 times. And he's trying to tell him, he said, listen, y'all, for me to go to the doctor is big. I'm not here because I'm wimping out. I'm sick. I'm really sick. And they were looking at him like, okay, go back home again. So thank God the 4th time he went, that there was a guy there that had been through, a doctor who had been through COVID and made it barely he got on the ventilator and was one of the few people that made it on the ventilator. And he just happened to be working, you probably remember the testimony, happened to be working that night and saw Ken and goes, you know, man, we got to get you, I'm going to call an ambulance, you're going to the hospital now. We're not sending you home. Don't send him home. And that saved his life because he would have probably died at home. Yeah, isn't that crazy how that, yeah, and he was telling me about that, and I was going like, wow, dude. You know, so they got him in the hospital, and he buried him in the hospital. By the time they diagnosed him and find out just how bad he was, they put him in the death ward. Because they know everybody that's like you, you know, 90% of them are die. And it was amazing what he went through. If y'all didn't hear that testimony, you need to go back and listen to it. It's amazing from last night's show. Amazing testimony. Somebody I know personally. It's not just somebody I called in, you know, and exaggerating or whatever. It's a real testimony. I know him personally. And, yeah, so, yeah, that's cool. He's gonna love that. I sent that.
Yeah, and that God set that up to have him right at that time, right when it broke out in their family, in both of my cousins and her husband and my aunt, all at once. Every time I turned around, they were saying, somebody else has COVID, somebody else has COVID. And it was just, man, and now,
yeah,
and your friend said that it's breaking out in the hospitals in East Texas. And,
that's what he said. Oh. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, he said that he goes back. He's a very, you know, keep up with things and talk to people kind of person, and he goes back to the doctors, and you know, he I think he corrected one of them for some things that they did that was kind of off color, you know. He's very gentle, very kind about it, you know, very strong. But yeah, so he went back to that hospital, and they told him, you know, after talking to the nurses and telling him what a great job they did and all that, they told him, yeah, it's starting to happen again a little bit. People aren't dying as much, but man, there was a lot of deaths going on at that time, all over the country, all over the world. I mean, I don't think I personally realized until I heard his testimony and started reliving that a little bit, just how bad that stuff really was and what was really going on and the fear that was going on at COVID. I mean, people were dying all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if this is a different strain of it breaking out again or if it's the same or.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that is kind of cool that we just, and that just happened to you on Monday, or did it start coming in on Sunday, or, because that was last night's show, so that was Monday's show, and you text me when we came on, and we were talking about I told you we're going to have his testimony tonight about COVID, and you text me, and you said, you know, you just found out, was that from Sunday or Monday, or when did that happen exactly, when all four of them had COVID? Or
well, I heard about one, then I heard about another one, then I heard about two more. It just all within the latest few days, the last couple of days. And,
okay. Wow.
So it's all recent. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I haven't heard about the strain. I've heard it's been kicking up a little bit, but honestly, I haven't, other than him telling me about it. He did tell me that they had it was picked up a little bit more, stirred up. So, yeah, and maybe that'll, you know, he's, yeah. People need to hear that testimony because those who get hit hard with it need to know that, you know, of course, Ken is one of the most stubborn people I've ever met in my life. I mean, in a good way, of course, but. When it's good, it's good, and when it ain't, of course. But I don't know any time that it hasn't been with him. You know, I always know him. He's a pain in the neck. You know, a pain in the neck. Yeah. And so I told the stories about how he would, and this is just him, and he's like this all the time. When he believes in something, watch out. He called me up. You know, we connected. He found out. He showed up at the church. I was the house prophet at that church, and so I'd gotten up and prophesied. My pastor had me get up. He got me getting prophesied all the time. He had me getting prophesied just to the whole congregation, right? And I was prophesying, and they were there in that meeting. Then my pastor had people come up to pray for them to get prayer. So Ken came up, and I just happened to walk by and prophesy over him as he testified. And I didn't know who he was. I never know who hardly anybody is. I know some people are, but I didn't know who he was. I never seen him before, and I don't even remember what God told him. But obviously the Lord, you know, read his mail, and so he goes back and tells his brother. He said, yeah, go get that guy to pray for her. Yeah, because he hit me right on the head. And so his brother came up there, and he got prayer and a prophecy over him. And he said that, I don't even remember what was said, but he said, yeah, me and my brother were talking about some of his personal things on the way up, you know, between brothers, you know, some personal stuff he was going through that, you know, nobody knew about. He said, when you prophesied to him, you start prophesying to him, it's like you were in the car listening to our conversation. And I went, really? Wow, that's amazing. It was so funny, you know. I said, he never even told me that. He waits and gets on my own show, on the show here, and then he tells people. He never even told me that personally, that I can remember anyway. And so I said, dude, you never even told me that. He said, yeah, whatever. And so once he got to know me, he would call me up, right? He was just my pastor. See, I always wondered who gave him my number, because I didn't give him my number because I didn't even know who he was, right? My pastor knew him well and knew his brother very well. And that sorry sucker gave him my number. And he starts calling me up, man. Yeah, he starts calling me a pain in the neck. He said, I got somebody here in my office. And I said, who is this? He said, you know, this is that guy you talked to. He said, I don't know. How did you get my number? He never answered. He wasn't going to tell me how he got my number. He knows I wouldn't have liked it. You know, some people give my number away. So he just kind of ignored me, right? Here, I got somebody in my office right here, Chandler. And he hands him the phone before I could even say, I don't have time for this right now. Can you call back later? He didn't even care. He didn't even care if I had time or not. Okay, you're going to do this like right now, right? Okay, thank you. Hands him the phone, and what am I going to do, right? Say, oh, sorry, sir, I can't pray for you today. Now I'm stuck. I got to pray for this, whoever this person is. And honestly, Cynthia, as he testified, he did that time and time and time and time. Julie and I would be walking around trying to, you know, get away from everything, trying to relax. We got walking in the park with our dog. He's calling me up. You know, and Julie says, who is it? Yeah, who is it? I looked at my phone, and she said, oh, it's Ken. I went, yeah. And she knows Ken, you know, because she, you know. And she said, you think you could take that later? I'm going like, I don't know. I think I'll take it right now. So I said, something important going on, Ken? He said, yeah. Randy, I'm in a restaurant over here. I got somebody here. Hang on a second. He didn't ask me if I've got any time. He didn't ask me nothing. It was all about, we're going to minister to this person right now, Randy. Okay, thank you. Bye. And hands him the phone, you know, and it's funny now. It was funny then, sort of, but it was a little bit irritating because that's just the way he is, you know. He didn't care. He wanted to bless some people. He wanted to get some people some, you know, and I'm going like, man, you are a pain in the neck. So I knew how God felt when God was having to deal with him all night long, praying all night long. I said, dear God, if I'd have known that, I'd been praying for God. Oh, dear God, please be patient with him. I know what he's like.
You know, that's
he's
just
a pain
his
in the neck.
For,
it is, yeah.
Him to be a door opener. he's anointed for that.
Definitely. He didn't ask me nothing. And I'm the man of God, right? I'm the prophet over here. He called me up. Chandler, you're going to be over here at 3 o'clock. And it didn't matter whether I could be there at 3 o'clock or not. I better show up or else.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and he didn't do it ugly. He wasn't ugly at all. It was, you know, and I knew him, and so I knew he loved God. And because I knew he loved God, he was doing it for God. How am I going to resist that, right? So I said, God, I know how you feel. I know why you couldn't resist him, because he's such a pain in the neck. How can you resist that guy? So that's my story. And I'm glad he's not on here to rebuff me and call me names. Thank God.
Well, I did enjoy that last night. It was very good.
Thank you.
I just really was touching. And Nikki was right. You should do that again.
Yeah, I would like to. Yeah, we need to get your testimony. I know you've got testimony. I think everybody has testimony. You know, and I just never, I don't know, I get caught up into doing what we do. You know, I don't have enough time to do what we do already. You know, to me, I mean, we need to find out what's important to God, right, here on PGN. Wednesday nights, ministering to everybody, that's really important. I think that doing what we did last night, we need to do that like once a week or something, or once every 2 weeks or something. Do you think we need to replay about it? Well, we have people like you come on, and I love to interview people. I'd rather talk about them than myself, and I love to talk about myself. So, no, but I love to interview people. It's one of my favorite things, and I love doing it. And I've interviewed some very well known people. You know, as I bragged last night, you know, I was bragging as I was that, you know, and they said I interview very well. I'm going, well, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
So I love it, and so we need to do it.
Yeah, and you are a very good interviewer. I noticed that.
I'm gonna text him. Hang on a second. Let me text him that. Hang on just a minute. No, I'm not really gonna text him. I'm just kidding. Cynthia said, I can interview like nobody else, mainly you. No. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I will. But thank you. Yeah, we would and anybody who can interview people, we would love to just get, because I'm not going to have time to do it all, I don't think. I would like to try to. But anybody who likes to interview people and is good at it, you know, send me your name. And let's get this thing rolling. Like Nikki said, I think that's right on. And, you know, you've got testimonies. You got a book that's got testimony in it. I haven't read your book yet. Ken, you have to be more like Ken. Go ahead.
I just was telling you, I'm sending you a signed copy.
Yeah, you sent for my address. Thank you for doing that. You know, I read his. He with him, you didn't have a choice. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He sends me the rough draft, and then makes me feel like a donkey if I don't read it. You know, he says, This is what he said. He said, hey, Shannon, am I going to have to send you an audio version of that, or are you going to read it? I'm going, well, are you going to get an audio version made? He goes, yeah, but I don't have time to run it. Just go ahead and read the thing. I'm going, you are bossy, man. You got issues. So, of course, I read it, you know. I read the thing, and it was awesome. I wept, you know. Man, it's just really it may be personal, you know, because I know him personally, and I've known him for many years. And you know, I haven't talked to him. I haven't physically seen him in years because you know we've gone different ways. But every once in a while, phone, they'll call me up, you know, and that kind of thing. But yeah, so I haven't really seen him or his wife or his daughter in years. We used to get together, you know, off and on, and. He'd invite me over to his house and he'd barbecue chicken. Don't tell him I said this, but that was the worst chicken I think I've ever had.
Oh no!
Don't tell anybody that. Yeah. Oh my God. I go.
Oh, no.
You know, I ate it. Hey, Cynthia, and I promise you, I'm not exaggerating. He we at his house, right? Sitting and his wife's there, and he's there, and he has a young daughter, you know, and. And so he said, hey, Randy, you want to cook something out on the grill? I go, man, I love grill. I love grill. I cook on the grill myself. I'm a grill cooker, right? He said, I said, what's you cooking? He said, chicken. I said, oh, good. I love chicken, man. He brings it in, right? And I'm not exaggerating. He brings it in, big old fat thing, you know. just beautiful on the outside. And I start eating it. And, you know, at the time, I didn't want to say anything because his wife was there. But I said, man, you know, this is like the worst chicken I think I've ever had. Yeah, I was so hungry, too. Don't tell him I said that. I hope he's not listening. It was the worst. That was the worst chicken breast I've ever had, man. Like, my gosh, wrong with you? And he was looking at me. Listen, he looks at you like, right? You really like that, right? And so I'm sitting there, and I lied. I have to confess, I lied. I said, yeah, man, this is really good.
Was it done?
Yeah, that's the problem. It was overdone, you know. I like my stuff juicy, and I don't know. It didn't seem like it even had any salt on it. I don't remember, but maybe he did that on purpose. I don't know, but anyway. But it's, you know, the kind of person that he is. He just looks at you like, you know, you better enjoy that because I made that for you. I'm going like. So if I don't enjoy it, you're gonna be saying something, right? You know, like, what's the matter, Chandler? You don't know good chicken when you see it? You got a problem with my chicken? Or something. Literally, I mean, it's so funny. It's hilarious. And so, you know, yeah, he'll make a good Smith Wigglesworth, you know, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he has an importation.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I have to ask him that sometime. Have you ever, do you know somebody named Smith? No, Chandler, I don't know anybody named Smith. Oh, wait a minute. Smith Wigglesworth? I'm going, yeah. Did he ever pray for you? But I never have. I probably never will. Unless he's listening right now, he'd probably bring it up or something. But anyway, I'm kind of in a goofy mood tonight. But all right. Hallelujah. Yeah, it was fun. Great. And we'll have to start doing the interview because I know everybody, if you've got a testimony tonight, and I know if you have a testimony, everybody has a testimony. If you want to give your testimony and share whatever you want to share, and I'm not saying confess all your sins either, unless you feel like you have to, you know, stay away from some of that, whatever God tells you to do. But, you know, so we're talking about just testimonies of how God, we would love to have them. So please, you know, I will try to interview you personally, and maybe we can do it on the privately on the side or something, and then record it and then play it on the show or something, or whatever you feel comfortable with. But we would love to interview God's people and, you know, get it out there where we can, you know, if it's just about your salvation, whatever you want to talk about, let's get that out there. I really feel like Nikki bringing that up tonight, that there's something going on with that. So, and then you saying the same thing there, Cynthia, too, a little bit. We just had a meeting, and we're going to maybe do that. Cool.
Cool.
Yeah. That was easy. All right. Anything particular you want to share or you want to talk about? Anything you need prayer about particularly or anything?
Well, I'm going on a trip, and so just I haven't been on a plane in several years, so just a safe travel for it.
Yeah. What you really mean is for you feeling safe while you travel. Yeah.
I'm coming to Texas, actually.
Oh, you're coming to Texas? Oh, great.
Yeah, to meet
what
my
area.
Be with my family.
Oh, your family.
Dallas.
Okay. That's right.
From family.
That's right. You have family. You have, oh, great.
My son and his family,
Oh, they're in Dallas, huh? Smart guy.
Yeah, he hasn't moved. He stayed there. So I don't get to see them very much.
All right. Awesome. Yeah, we're getting close to Thanksgiving, too. That's going to be around the corner. No.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving? Let's see. Wow. It's a little bit further away than that. I'm sitting there thinking. Anyway, so, yeah, it's getting that time. It's not Thanksgiving. But anyway, I'm getting off on that, but getting way off on the timing on that one. But, yeah. okay, we can do that and believe God to, you know, do whatever he wants to do there and bring some things together and all that. All right, Cynthia, anything else?
No, just the safe travel and if the trip goes well.
And that's when you say this, the coming week?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's right away, almost. All right. Thank you very much, Cynthia. We'll do that. And let's pray about the testimony stuff, too. And I'd love to do that. Love to get Cynthia's testimony, your testimony, whoever you are. Please, if you can, you know, I may send a request on our text alert situation where we let everybody know there's shows going on. I may ask requests, testimonies on that. And then, try to work on setting something up. So then we end up doing a lot of work, right? A lot of work, a lot of labor. And that's what I don't have. We need to pray that somehow that can be done with less work and get more done. That blessing, yeah. Because that ends up being, you know, a lot of work. And we love work. We like work. But so we need to pray that all that works out. Thank you, Lord, for Cynthia tonight, God. We thank you for her travel, safe travel, and she flies. And I remember the first time I flied, I hadn't flown in a long time. You know, I went to Israel, I went to Georgia, up there around Russia area. I went to, you know, Romania, and I've been, you know, several different places, London and different places, you know, a long time ago. And so, you know, when I first started flying again, it was kind of like, whoa. You have to get used to it, or at least I did. And so I thank you, Lord, that you just settle her and give her peace and you know, that all will go well. She will have cool experiences on the airplane and before and after and all the setup and everything. That will be a cool experience, be a fun experience. She will enjoy herself and enjoy her family. God, there will be such a spirit of loving and giving and, you know, honoring, bringing honor, and giving credit, you know, where credit is due. We need to give credit to people and give God the glory for how he uses them and for how he works through them and, you know, all the things, God. I thank you, Lord, for the we eat communion. He says, do these things in remembrance of me. So I thank you, Lord, that as they get together, they will have those good memories, those memories of things that bonded them, that connected them, good times. And in Jesus' name, bless that time, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, let's go here to the next caller. I've got one more caller with their hand up. So if you want to talk tonight, please get your hand up. It's Tuesday night. All right, 330-661, you might talk to your friend, please. All right, 330-661, are you there? Hang on a second. 330, are you there? Hello, are you there? 330-661, maybe falling asleep. Bless your heart. All right, 330. Hello? All right, I'm just falling asleep. All right, so you want to talk tonight? Get your hand up there. That was my last person with their hand up. Moved on. You want to share or talk about last night's testimony, you can do that. Some of you may think you have your hand up. If you don't have your hand up, maybe. Try 330-661. Are you still there? Oh, there we go. All right, 863-808. I think this is Florida. Mm-hmm. You're awake.
Waking up to hear you say,
Cheryl from Florida.
Put your hand up.
Yes, please. Yeah, yeah. It's only 11:30, so we had time to visit. Sometimes people think they have their hand up and they don't. So I was letting people know they have their hand up.
Yeah.
So we got several people on tonight. I just don't have people. Everybody forgets to put their hand up sometimes. All right, let's pray for you. And we can talk first. So what's going on? Did you hear last night's testimony a little bit? You had to pray for one of your COVID.
Yeah.
So I know you were listening a little bit, at least. Yeah.
Austin's much better today. I mean, he's like the fourth day, but last night was amazing. Like I said, I was in and out because we just got a house full of people, so coming in and out. And and as you prophesied, a facelift on the house a little bit, and so I'm half asleep, so don't ask me too many questions.
That's okay. I know. That's the thing about PGN. It's like we go for 3 or 4 hours, and people, I mean, how many times do we spend 3 or 4 hours on our phone? We don't. And so it's kind of like, that's one of the weaknesses with it. Yeah. People, you get somebody on there going, hello, I'm ready to go. Hey. Hello, I just woke up. It's kind of funny in a way. I love it.
Yeah.
So anyway, somebody's saying, so we can pray for you. Somebody said here, who is this? This is, this is Greg. He says tonight during the revelating teaching, he said, this applies to me right now, Randy. I've been experiencing a lot of tormenting fear lately. Oh, bless your heart. You know, a lot of people do that. I've gone through that time too, you know, condemnation mainly. And if you let it, it gets out of hand. I mean, it can happen to anybody. You know, you don't have to be, like, backslidden or unspiritual. I mean, sometimes, you know, we just go through these battles. And so, Greg, I'm glad to hear you talk about that. I knew, you know, when we were sharing that tonight, I went places I didn't know I was going to go, so hopefully it helps you a little bit. Greg from Arizona, truck driver. We used to call Greg. I remember Greg used to call in. He'd be driving down the road in his truck, you know, traveling from one state to the other. What are you doing? I never forget that. I just think of him as Greg the truck driver. So bless you, my brother. In Jesus' name, amen. Good to hear from you. All right, let's pray for Cheryl, and then maybe she can get some coffee going on there. And she sounds good, really. She sounds great. But let's pray for her. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for convening. What is it, the word convening? I think I know kind of what convening means. Convene. Definition. Set up. All right. Convene means come or bring together for a meeting or activity. Oh. Symbol. You're just talking about, maybe, I don't know if that's after you get coming over. He had convened a meeting, personnel, blah. All right, come or bring together for a meeting or activity. Amen. Assemble people. All right. Thank you, Lord, that Cheryl just has that thing about her. She likes to bring people together and, you know, in the right way. First, and, you know, at the right time, in the right place, and everything's done. And she likes it. So thank you, Lord, for just blessing her with that. Open her up to that, God, where she can do that part of her that likes that, assembling together and bringing together people and singing and worshiping and having a hoedown and just prophesying and doing all that kind of thing. Thank you, Lord, for opening it up for her and God and blessing her with that and showing her, you know, how that can work and be done. Amen. In a blessed way. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. That was kind of quick and easy.
Wow.
What?
I wonder if the word convention comes from convening. I think it does.
Well, of course it does. Now that you mentioned it. Yeah, I think it, let's say, yeah, come together, bring for a meeting or activity, a symbol. I'm literally reading it. You know, I kind of knew what convening meant, but, you know, I mean, yeah.
Sure.
Can you convene a meeting? Let me see here. Yeah, if someone is convening a meeting to arrange or conference, there's literally the word. When you look up the word, I went down below and looked a little bit further, and it says, can you convene a meeting? That's the question. Then it'll answer the question for you. It says, if someone convenes a meeting or conference, they arrange for it to take place. You can also say that people convene or meeting, that a meeting convenes. He convened a meeting of his closest advisor. Yeah. So it literally used the word conference there. I just heard the word convene. Yeah. So I looked it up, and that's kind of what it goes to. So
wow.
What's going on with that?
Well, can I ever convene a meeting? I can do it.
Whatever.
Do it.
Convene it. Do whatever you want to with it.
Yeah.
Just convene.
It's just
you're
like
a convener.
It's just a lot of sick people around me right now.
Really?
No, Austin went on that tour. You know, he was
right.
Going with,
yeah,
anyway, so.
I remember, yeah.
The last, he was so excited. He was in D.C., and he called me, and he showed me where they were at. It was such a beautiful place. Next thing I know, he calls, and he says, Mom, they're flying me home. And I guess it was too much money
what?
To fly him home before the time that he was supposed to come home. So they made him, they put him in a motel and made him stay there until he could go home. And it's like, oh. So I don't know if he'll be so quick to want to go back or not. It's just to go to California and that side of the country next. But we'll see. So it's
yeah.
Kind of hard to have a lot of meetings when I'm taking care of Dad. He's, excuse me, Jan's been here with me, and he seems to be not getting up in the wheelchair as much. He's more in bed, and he's less responsive as far as even talking to us now. So... it's just a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. So maybe the convenings afterwards.
Yeah. It doesn't have to, you know, anytime information comes forth, it's not like right now, today, tomorrow. It may just be explaining something about you that you pray about, that you like to do. You know, the prophetic is, as you know, you already know this, but I just remind other people that are listening. When you get a word, when information comes, it could be about something you're going through right now. It could be something you're going to be doing in the future. It could be something that you just, that you're born to do, that you like to do, that God's saying, don't forget about that. You know, as you know, so the prophetic word can, the prophetic information or word of knowledge, or it can have many different purposes. Most people think it has to be about what you're going to do right now, or you've already got planned to do it, you know, and it's not necessarily that.
I think, Jim.
But I know you.
I mean,
pretty much you like doing that.
I love it, yeah. And tonight I told Jan, call LaVon and have her come over to even tomorrow night. I was just thinking about you saying that. And even in that could entail a whole group of people, you know. She is quite the leader herself. I said, tell her to come over. We need some product to and tell her to bring it. And so she couldn't come over, but Jan's on the phone inviting her over. And so anyway, it's
cool.
Yeah. I can just see. And
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm just not with it, Randy.
All right, that's okay. Yeah, I think that convening thing is part of you. I think you've always liked, I know you used to have meetings and I would come and minister and that kind of thing. And I'm sure you've done other things, but it's just, you know, part of you, part of who you are. And, you know, maybe something God wants you to pray about. Not having me, I'm not talking about having a meeting with me showing up or any other speaker showing up. You know, just maybe it's convening at your
house.
Well,
you better show up
at your house.
I have a convening.
Okay, well, yeah, exactly. But my point is it has nothing to do with me. I'm not involved in that in any fashion.
I know,
form.
I'm joking.
I know you know it, but we're just kidding. But she, and generally speaking, you know, that maybe that's something that you get people together at your house and do, you know, just talk about things. I don't know. I don't have a clue, you know. It could be meetings in a building. It could be all that. It could be all that together. Who knows? But
right.
Yeah, I have no personal, you know, dealings with any of it. When I get a word
from
the Lord, it's just yeah.
I was just thinking. I was talking to a minister about a coffee house, just the other day. I said, I think I'm your girl as far as doing that. He's
yeah.
a minister, you know, a large church in Lakeland. And he's like, I've been looking for, after I said that, oh, we're talking about a restaurant that closed down that's downtown in this little town that I'm in. And I said, yeah, I could just see a coffee house in there. And he's, and really, I didn't know. He said, I've been, later on in the conversation, said, I've been looking for a coffee house. A place to have a coffee house like that. So,
right.
Said, well, I'd be your girl to do something like that because that is just right up. That's kind of like something that's been and kind of like a dream without going there. Yeah. So that's now
I think so.
It's coming together. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, you know,
yep.
I never know really. Yeah, I just get, I say what I get, and you know, taking the risk of being look like a donkey or whatever, I don't really care. And it's like
takes
I never know what it means. yeah, great, yeah, whatever, yeah.
I'm half asleep.
Yeah.
And then Jan,
well, that's the PGN
thing. If I can do it while she's around, she's like, man, Randy, she runs circles around me. She's like, Cheryl, make a list. I'm like, Jan, I got a list. It's in my head. She's walking around me making a list. And she's getting things done. She's kind of like picking up Alan and, making a list on where to go, what to do, what we need, measurements, you know, the whole bit. So she would be, and she helped me with the last time, or one of the times that you were here. So, absolutely.
I think I remember
that's
that.
Why you said, that's why she said, I remember your name. I remember you prophesied a husband to her.
Oh, God forbid.
Yeah.
I mean, wonderful.
Yeah. It's all good.
Good.
She's still single. But.
Uh-oh. Well, I'm a false prophet then, or that, or she's she's not activating her faith.
No. I just sit her here.
Activate your faith, woman.
Right? I think she's just like okay with being single, you know?
I think she's smart, yeah. There you go. Yeah, if you can live single, it's nice. You know, if people live single, it's great. You know, it's all good. And if you find somebody, if somebody can find somebody that they can, you know, I mean, it's just a jewel when you find someone who has the same things in common, you know, and can get along and have fun and go places together and do stuff. I mean, there's nothing like that, you know. And,
absolutely.
So, nothing like it, but. Some people are so blessed where they just kind of go in, you know, and it's good. So they get, like my friend Ken, you know, I was thinking about when you were talking about that, my friend Ken, we had him on the show last night, you know, as you know, about the COVID thing. And that's what he did with me. I mean, he was like, he set up everything. He did everything. I just kind of show up and, you know, he did all that work. And I think God's going to reward him for that.
Yeah.
He's a
sweetie. I could just tell. I mean, when he said, well, what was that? He said, God answers desperate prayers. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
That sounds like Iris used to say to me, she'd say, Cheryl? Desperation brings deliverance.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So I'm like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah, so when we get desperate and, yeah, we start calling on the name of the Lord, he hears that. And he loves that. He loves that. Remember that song we used to sing, I'm desperate for you. That's an awesome song. Yeah,
one of my favorites. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could just hear that tenacity in him, and that.
Yeah.
I thought about Abraham, the pureness of what was coming out of him. You talk about purity, but the pureness of just that desperation, the pureness that. The desperation for the Lord, that brings the purity. That was what was flowing, you know, through him last night, even talking about it.
It was such a pure love
that he has, and a pureness that comes forth from him. So I was like, this is good, Randy. I was like, why can't you do a show, Randy?
Exactly. What are we talking about? He's working on it, I think,
Oh, good.
And if he does it, we'll let everybody know about it. But, yeah, I mean, he's just such a – I talked about some of the stuff tonight. Again, when I got talking to Nikki earlier about some of the things that he set up. You know, he didn't know where it was going to go, but God just – he was just driven by God, man. And
right.
He set up those meetings for us at that – you know, it's a global ministry in East Texas, and they set up offices there. And I mean, he was just bound and determined to get us in there. He said, you need this prophetic voice in your ministry. And they're like, no, we really don't need it. No, you really need it. You need this. And he convinced them, man. It's a worldwide ministry, you know. He didn't know them, from what I know. And he just stuck with it and was so strong that they said, well, let's give it a chance. We'll test them and see, you know. And they did. They did that exact thing. They brought me in a room with, you know, I don't remember, 7 or 8, 10 people, something like that, in a living room style. And she said, okay, go, something like that. So I just, you know, started praying for people. And, man, I mean, God just read their mail. And so from that day on, you know, we were invited back to minister to people that were around the globe, literally. They're around the globe. They have people stationed around the globe in some of the most hard countries that you don't walk into as a Christian without thinking you might lose your life. I mean, that's the kind of ministry these people have, you know. And I wish I could say the name, but he won't let me. So,
it's okay.
But I'm talking about worldwide, world zone, you know, ministry. And he set all that up. And so his skills do that. That would have never been done had it not been for him. So I give him all the credit, give God the glory, because he didn't even have a clue what he was doing. He was just obeying God, man. And you're the same way. You do that. You're kind of like that. Yeah, you're kind of like that too. Man.
Well, it's been, honestly, it's just been in the back of my mind the past month or so. I'm like, that's kind of strange. I'm like, I can't see how God could put something like that together now, but because I'm pretty tied to Dad right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. You got to fulfill what you're doing there, and it's important that you do that, because your level of obedience to that will bring the blessings of the next thing, too. So that's why it's so important.
Right.
And honoring your father, and you did such a great job of that, yeah.
Well,
what is going on? There's, you know, I've told you this before about the Father's house. It's like people who come here get automatic blessing after they leave. It's like when Ellen, my cousin's here, they are living, a homeless coalition helped them get where they're at. But he come in yesterday and said, Cheryl, there, he said, called me Cheryl. Cheryl, there is a God, and he, God has opened up a job for him as a maintenance man, and yeah, and a home to live in, and for and a maintenance man for this community. So yeah, so restoration can come to him, and you know, just one story after another. I said to them, this is like a saga of the Father's house, of people who bless the Father and not obey the Father, but, you know, tend to the Father's
honor.
Need.
Yeah.
Like Jesus said, I even had a dream that I was speaking to a minister last night, and he was telling me to do something. I said, no, I do what I see my Father doing, like Jesus did.
Oh.
And he was just trying to get me to run an errand for him or something. I was tired.
Yeah.
And I know you've been talking about not being into works, you know, just doing what God says, and my yoke is easy, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And I was tired, and this guy's trying to... And so we wake up, and I look in this guy's eyes. He's got these beautiful eyes. And I'm like, what are you saying, God? And so our story, our Bible story this morning was about the eyes of the Father, and how King Uzziah, you know, he was king, but when he got powerful, he obeyed the Lord, but when he got powerful, ego got in. And anyway, it was about following it was about the eyes of the Lord, long story short, and how ego can cause a person to fall. And I said, I'll see, you know, and I know I can't even go into it because I don't remember right now, but it was all about the eyes of the Lord and how he can guide us with his eye if we're paying attention and we stay humble. And oh, by the way, too, I feel like there is, and I know we've heard this many times, but through that the Lord spoke to me that he says, are you bowing down to get your crown? Because he's about to crown some people. Are you bowing down? And we were talking about that. Jan bowed her head down, and I was trying to fix her hair. And the Lord spoke to me about that. Someone came in line after Uzziah because he became proud, and he started doing his own thing. I know what it was. He went in the temple, and he started making sacrifices, and only the priest could make sacrifices. And the prophet rebuked him and said, you basically overstepped your boundaries, and now you're going down. And so the next person was in line, and the Lord said that, are you bowing down, Jan, to get your crown? Because she's been blessing the Father. And it's just so beautiful, you know. But God is, there is a changing of the guards now, because God doesn't want ego running his house. He doesn't want us overstepping our boundaries. He wants us to do what we're called to do and what we see the Father do, just like Jesus did. And so in that dream that I had, I was looking into this man's eyes, and it wasn't an attraction or anything, but he had beautiful eyes, and he could have been very convincing to get me to do, you know, whatever. He would just run an errand. I'm like, I'm not doing that, dude. You know, and I was kind of like, you're not supposed to argue with a prophet. You're supposed to believe the prophet. So here I am arguing with him. I'm not doing that. But,
yeah,
you know, we have to make sure, it's just like you said, you got to follow the right voice. There's many voices that's going forth these days, but I didn't mean to get off on that, but you're going to pull something out of
awesome.
Me. That's how you are.
Don't blame it on me. I blame everybody, but I don't let anybody ever blame me. Yeah.
Oh,
that's really
goodness.
Cool. Really awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Wow.
Yeah. So there's a changing going on, and we need to stay humble and stay in line and with the love of God, and you know, He exalts.
Oh, there's a line you got to stay in.
Pardon me.
The line you got to stay in. You got to get in line.
No, I just said, what kind of.
I'm messing with you a little bit.
Oh,
you
okay.
Said you
got
we got to stay in line. You know, like you got to get in line.
Kind of sort of.
Like getting the airport. Going to the airport. Going to the airport. You got to get in line. Stay in line.
That's good.
I don't know.
Yes,
that's what
is.
I thought about
that's
when you said
good.
That. I said, okay, I better stay in line. I don't want to miss my place. Yeah. Very
that's
good.
Right. It's true.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I know you probably have other callers. I start preaching, but it's kind of like prophesying a little bit, you know, because
sure
you've been saying that as well, that God is raising up a PGN for one, you know.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. The whole thing that Ken did, and we were talking to Ken last night, and we talked about all the different things, you know, and we're only talking about a few things that God used him to do. And I was, you know, just bring that out to the open last night, you know, how God uses people, and without those people, it would have never gotten done. So what happened with Ken, talking about PGN and what you're talking about, what happened with Ken mm-hmm. was God used him to, you know, I hadn't really done meetings on a regular basis in a while, you know, and so, you know, I was the house prophet, which I prophesied, you know, pretty regular there. You know, my pastor was always having me get up and, okay, come on, Randy, I know you got something. I wouldn't have anything, you know, and I would step up and start just opening my mouth. And, you know, so everything God did that used people, including Ken was one of them, my pastor was another one, how God uses people to, you know, to activate you and get you going. And so,
yeah.
And I was there for like 10 years. And then in that 10 years, I was also doing those meetings in East Texas on the weekend. And, you know, on Fridays and stuff. And man, the doors that God used him to open, and not just physically, but in me, are used
right.
for PGN. And then the work the way God used him to open me up to certain parts of the world where the prophet, you know, my name and you know, as a prophet got on a bigger scale because of what he did. You know, yeah, I prophesied, but he did all the work. He if it hadn't been for him, he knocked on the doors, and when the doors opened, he said, "Hey, Randy, got another door, come on." You know, that's what happened. And
yeah.
I would just show up. You know, but he did all that, you know, and so it hadn't been for him doing that stuff, you know. So anyway, it opened up doors now where people that made, got, you know, my name out there because, you know, I just happened to prophesy right on to some people, and those people just happened to know people that knew people around the globe, you know, that were connected
right.
people, and then they fly those people in from all different parts of the world, and they call me up, and I don't even know what they're calling me for, but they're calling Ken, and Ken said, "Hey, they want us to come." I don't know why we're going there. They've just flown in people from different parts of the globe that are going through hell and need a word from God, you know. And like,
right.
so they call us in, and they call me in because they knew that I was, you know, God used me in that area. So I show up, and you know, and then we're just, before we know it, just from him, from what he did, and that, and some other things. All of a sudden, you know, we're known, you know, our name's getting out there around the globe and through the political arena with Mike Huckabee and all that. That was all done through Ken. Every bit of that, those
wow.
doors got opened up through him and then his family. And then, yeah, he would call up, and he would call me up, and I'd be out, you know, trying to relax. "Hey, Randy, I'm in a restaurant. I got somebody," and he wouldn't even ask me if I had time. You know, that's what I loved about it. He didn't ask me if I had time. It didn't matter if I had time or not. You know what I mean? Like, "Hey, Randy." I said, "Yeah." So I thought maybe something important was going. "Said, yeah, Randy, hey, I got somebody. I'm here in a restaurant here. We're having food over here. And I got somebody I want you to minister to." He wouldn't tell me their name, who they were, girl, boy, kid, pastor, preacher, nobody. He'd just hand them the phone. And I'm sitting there going like, "Hello? and they're going like,
hello?
Like, who is this? I said, my name's Randy, and I'm Ken's friend. And I guess I'm going to pray for you. So I start praying for him, and that's how I met, you know, the person that introduced me, that had the meeting where they she had all the politicians up there and that were running for president, you know, including Sam Brownback, and my company was there. She asked me to come. All that happened because of him, you know. So it's just amazing when you look how God can use you to do certain things and introduce me to people that, you know, I mean, it's just amazing how that, how one person, you know, God uses one person to open up sense for you. You don't even know it at the time. I didn't have a clue all that was going to go on. Didn't have a clue. And
two,
just because we're willing and obedient.
Yes, and God will just pull that out of you. It's just like I've been in places where, you know, not probably not on the level that you, but someone will say, I want you to go walk this property. And you're thinking, I don't know nothing about this property. But as you begin to walk it, God starts speaking, you know. And so you think, I mean, you're never ready to do what someone wants you to do. It's like pulling something out of the hat and God just starts speaking and using you. Just doing it by faith, like Ken was talking about. It's tell people, it's all by faith. Everything we do is by faith. You know, believing God, trusting God.
Yeah.
Even using the gifts is by faith. You have to have faith to open your mouth and speak what you feel like God is saying. Or you hear God saying, you know. And so that's good. And, I love to do that. I really do. It's a lot of work.
It's
so rewarding to get people ministered to. And I want to do it on another level. I want people to come into the kingdom. I want to see the evangelists in our area again, evangelism, because the you know, there's a lot of damage been done in Lakeland, a lot of damage. I'd like to see healing come in this area.
Like Florida kind of draws that kind of thing,
and something that would be so beautiful and pure and that would be great. And you've got people, Tanya and her, I can't remember her husband's name, that does shows for you. They're here.
Tanya, who's talking about?
The guy was in prison.
Oh, you're talking about Donald and Tanya.
Yeah,
Donald and Tanya, yeah.
Yeah, they're here in Florida.
No doubt.
Yeah, so
yeah, they are.
I don't
even know where they're at, but
They're in Miami, though.
Oh, they are? I don't even know.
Yeah, I think they're in the Miami area. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, I have to say I don't really, you know, I just get where I don't pay attention. I just know that Florida, people from Florida, from Texas, from New York, or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't really pay attention to all that stuff, but I should. But that's awesome. That'd be cool. You never know.
Yeah. You want to minister to Jan? I think she's listening. Does she have her number on? She's in the other room. I can hear my voice echoing. Jan, are you up? Hello. I think she fell asleep. Forget it.
Is she 994?
No. She's 863 something.
994?
You can try it. I think she's asleep, though.
I'm not going to try it. I'll just pray, and she can listen to it. I'll hear it.
Okay.
I don't want to be clicking on numbers. I don't want to be there. All right. Awesome. I'm going to mute you, and then I'll pray for you too. And kind of already did sort of, but we always like to do that.
Pray for Austin.
Let's do that.
Jim,
Austin, okay.
Randy, pray for Austin too again, please.
All righty. All right, thank you. All right, let's pray for
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for Austin Gov. We thank you, Jesus, for Austin, and thank you, Lord, for opening up his heart, God, to a whole nother place of freedom, a whole nother place of worship, a whole nother place of joining together, joining together with people that thank you, Jan. Yeah, Jan. Firstly, Ann, Pat. Yeah, thank you for that. And thank you, Lord, for Austin, God, that he find that place conjoining together with people that are that will that he can enjoy and love and be friends and really connect and yet have that love for God that. That, you know, even though they always have to get around and talk about God, but, you know, there's just something there going on. The drawing, the wooing, the purposes, getting together with people with the same similar purpose. The purpose, like Ken and I, like friends, you know, I haven't really talked to him other than on my phone or seen him in, you know, probably years now, maybe something like that, a long time. But we communicate by phone. But when God, you know, when God brought him to the church that I was at, you know, him and his brother, and they showed up, and then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I'm having meetings, you know, accelerating the will of God to a different level, you know, just came to somebody I've never dreamed. I mean, I'm in a meeting, standing up prophesying. I didn't know that. You know, I'd pray for somebody that was going to be a friend for years, you know, and have meetings. I didn't have a clue what was going on. I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing what I'm called to do and being faithful to what God is. So I thank you, Lord, for showing us how to be faithful to what you called him to, what belongs to him from you, God, and bring people around him. Just like you brought Ken in my life that will, you know, open up new places for the Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. And making him successful, God. Let him be successful in you, that he will know his success comes from you, Jesus. And Lord, thank you for Jan tonight. God, we pray for Jan. We thank you, Lord, that you give her that sweet ability to organize the structure under the anointing, God, more and more and more all the time, learning how to. You know, she's just like with Jan, being faithful to be who she is, what she is. She, you know, telling you to make lists and do all those same things. Just being faithful, you know, taking what you have and doing what God, you know, helping people and being a blessing like she is to you and like she is to Cheryl. And just like that's what Joseph did. Joseph, you know, he knew he had a big dream from God, but you know what? He was stuck in this place. It seemed like he was stuck. And being stuck there, it's like, what do I do? Well, he just did, you know, he got his list out. He, you know, maybe helped people organize things and blah, 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 did his thing. And, you know, being faithful with what he had, you know, and to the Lord, that eventually it drew him into this place where he interpreted a couple of dreams from a couple of people that ended up connecting him. And all of a sudden he was connected, man. Boom, boom, connected. By just what? Doing what he was being faithful and loyal, isn't it? Look at how many dreams he interpreted. How many people he helped, you know, doing things, just being faithful to God and helping people and using his gifts and, you know, helping people get, you know, structured and organized and all that. And then one day what happens, you know, the guy he interpreted a dream tells the head of the country, God can help you. And he gets him in there. And sure enough, God uses Joseph and boom, all that from just being faithful and loyal to what the gifts and talents that you have. Joseph used his gifts and talents to organize a prison, to organize Potiphar's house, to organize whatever, and just doing it. You know, he was called to great things, but all that was training. Part of the training was, you know, being faithful and loyal to God no matter what. That's a lot of our training. And when God gets that built in us, then we finally get raised up, then we remain to be faithful and loyal to God in the time of our prosperity and our blessing. And I think the same thing for sure, God. Thank you for all the things she does to obey you, listen to you, you know, do what she knows best, even if it's just among a few people, one or two people, one person, whatever, being faithful to you like Joseph was, same thing, same situation. And you know, and doing that just like I did. I'm just doing what God's telling me today, you know, and just happen to prophesy to somebody. I prophesied to hundreds, maybe thousands of people in that church that came through there. And, you know, my pastor had me get up and prophesy over people. It was a lot of work, man, a lot of work, but I loved it. And just doing what I prophesied to this person, that person, it ends up coming back that, you know, God opens up a whole other level of ministry to me. Thank you, Lord, that she does it, she obeys you and does what you say and serves and loves and does and sets up and does whatever she does. God, you're gonna bless her with that. You're gonna, like you did Ken, God, you're gonna do some great things in his life. And now he's getting a lot of credit, you know. Not that he seeks it, but, you know, he's getting credit. He's getting like, man, I'm giving him credit. Yeah, I always have, but, you know, for what God has used him to do. It's been amazing. And wouldn't be where I'm at had it not been for what he did. You know, and other people too. There's other people, I could name other people. But so we thank you, Lord, that we just keep on doing what we're called to do, being faithful and loyal, doing what we're called to do right in front of us, do it the best we can. And then when that ends, when that stops, when that moves on to the next level, we were faithful. We did it, and it opened up a door. So we just step right in what we were doing at home with your daddy, what we're doing with our people around, our friends, what I'm doing at my church, you know, just being faithful and loyal, showing up, ministering, praying, believing God, learning, growing, you know, learning to submit myself to God. And then one day, boom, you know, a door opens. Wow. So there you go. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening your people, God, to obey your voice, to listen to you, do what you say. Amen. And I pray for that prayer request for the husband situation, which is not Cheryl from Florida, or I got a text in from somebody who said they're listening to the show tonight. I want to know if God has a husband for them. Sure he does. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a kind of a general answer that I have as far as, I don't know how general it is, but yeah. And so thank you, Jesus, for that, for bringing that to this person, this friend. God, I thank you that you open up that door and cause them to connect, cause them to see each other, and cause them to connect, and like magnets, being drawn to each other. And Lord, all the preparation you've done in this person's heart, to draw them to you, and to, since when we draw nigh to God, when you draw nigh to God, you know, God draws nigh to you. But it's not just that God draws nigh to you. The people that he has connected to you draw nigh to you. See, that's why we draw nigh to God. So why? So we be more spiritual, to be more holy. Well, that's definitely part of it. But the fact is, when we draw nigh to God, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Well, what draws nigh to you? Just the presence of God? Everything the presence of God has for you, a husband, a wife, a family, a ministry, you know, whatever the thing is, he draws it. That's what gets drawn to you. When God gets drawn to you, he's drawn to you your blessings. He's drawn to you the provision. He's drawn to you the covenant blessing that he has for you. And be faithful and loyal to God in the covenant. Do what he says and take care of his business. We take care of God's business. God takes care of our business. I've seen that happen over and over. I take care of God's business. I just focus on, how do I take care of your business, God? Do this, do that. Okay, and then okay, be faithful and loyal. Okay, thanks. Just being faithful and loyal, being faithful and loyal, being faithful and loyal. And as I do it, you know, God brings the reward to me. That has to do with his purpose, to do with providing for his will to be done on the earth, which is what I love to do. Amen. When God calls you to do something, he provides for it through your rewards for obeying him little by little. You're there a little, there a little, here a little, there a little. As you obey him, he rewards you for that, and that reward is to open up, you know, like if you need a husband or a wife or family or a car or whatever, what opens the rewards that come are what you need. You know, you need a husband, need a wife, need a car, need whatever, a ministry building, whatever it is, it opens up in Jesus' name. I will open that up for my friends in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you. All right, y'all, it's 12:23, and it's been great. If nobody else raises their hand, I'm going to call it a night. All right, so if you're awake and alive, you want to talk, share, whatever, here I am. All right, you're welcome. Okay, you're welcome. We love serving. We love to serve. I never know what's going to be served. I just serve. I do my best to serve what I get. So the servants serve what they get. In other words, the boss man or the cook, the head cook, whatever, he says, hey, this is what you're going to give so-and-so. I go, okay, thank you. And you just serve it. I have nothing to do with it. All I did was like, you can leave me a tip if you want. You know, not literally a tip, but like, you know, when somebody serves you, you know, yeah, they get blessed. But sometimes we leave them a tip. I don't need a tip. I don't want a tip. I'm not an expert in it. But you see what I'm saying? It's like that's the way God does it, because a servant is just a guy in the middle. He just delivers the goods, right? I didn't make them. I didn't build them. I didn't do it. I just deliver them. I just put it on a platter. And I show up and I go, here you go. So it's so like you do it at, you know, a restaurant or whatever. It's a servant. They're just bringing to you what you want, what you desire, and what the boss has cooked up, what the cook has cooked up. So anyway, there you go. All right, so we deliver the word of the Lord and the meal that God gives, hopefully the job God wants, and serve what he serves you, and faithful in that. And when I'm faithful in that, then God always takes me to the next level every time. The problem is, most people are not being faithful where they are. Be faithful where you are. Be faithful. I had to be faithful for 10 years at a church where I didn't agree with everything he said. He was a great man. And most of his stuff was just pure and beautiful as it could be. But, you know, there's always something we disagree with somebody, right? God allows that. So to see if we'll be faithful to him in spite of that. Oh, well, I'm leaving because, you know, I don't like it. Like, who am I called here to be part of? You know, God or people? God calls us to serve people. And when he calls you, be faithful and loyal to that. And then do as God says, because it's a test. See if you're going to go around the mountain again, or you're going to get blessed with the blessing God has for you, because you obeyed him, you were faithful and loyal to him in the midst of serving others, whatever way that is. All right, y'all, I'm going to call it a night. Thank you for being with us. Nobody else is raising their hands. So what's the call tonight? It's been a great night. Hallelujah. Had a lot of fun. Shared a lot of stuff. Thank you for being with us.